You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. Think of us as the love child of National Review and Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. Please be sure to rate and review us in iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. If you're listening to the full show, then we catch up for the first 20 minutes or so, then we get full into it. It's a deep dive, analyzing current events in society from a libertarian perspective. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is sometimes strong and offensive. With me is my beautiful co-host, Greg Lenz. Greg,
I've been upgraded to beautiful.
Beautiful co-host, Greg.
Effervescent, my co-host. And then we brought the two people bringing the show down.
Yes, we brought girls.
Yeah, these are our people that make us look pretty.
Yes, mm-hmm. we have a staple of the show now is Kat Anagnos.
Hello, yes. Thank you for having me again.
Yep. Well, it wasn't really my choice.
No, right. You put milk outside his door and you looked it up one night and haven't left.
I know.
She was just basically like, hey, I'm coming on the podcast Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Double finger guns.
Oh, God.
I was like, I can't resist double finger guns.
No, it was really like, Spangle, I have nowhere to go tonight. Please.
Please. Let me have friends. I have none.
Let me have a platform.
Oh, God.
I will be famous.
Checks hair and mirror view.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also here is Hannah Drazich. Oh, the rare slip. Hannah
wow.
Cook.
Wow.
Hannah Cook, I called you by your maiden name.
She's married now. You're being marriageophobia.
She's been claimed.
I have been claimed. He put
bought,
a ring on it.
If you
yeah,
will.
That's a big ring, too.
I know. He did a great job.
Todd doesn't mess around.
No.
He's very alpha.
Oh, gosh. He's so alpha.
That sounded like you were sarcastic for our radio listeners.
No, seriously. The most alpha man you'll ever meet.
Sounds
other
dirty.
Other than Greg, you know.
I don't
I'm
know.
I'm very beta. I prepare show notes for a podcast.
Yes. Have you met Todd Cat?
I don't think so.
He's a great guy. Hannah, you dated your share of losers before Todd.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't all terrible.
What would you who was
really?
The,
I can think of a couple.
Oh, they were terrible. Not all of them.
Who was the biggest loser?
All right. So, somebody you never met. I dated him when I was in college. He's the reason why I never dated anybody my age ever again.
Okay.
He literally, like, everything he did or said had to be run by his mom.
Oh, wow.
One of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a
yep.
libertarian.
When we broke up, I told him that, probably, actually, I told him that I
to
hoped
clarify,
he had
broke a... broke up with who?
I broke up with him.
Good.
After his mom threw some fit of something from when I was at their house. And I told him that I hoped he had a terrible life. And I hung up the phone. And I still, to this day, hope he's having a terrible life.
Is it just like how you sort of, you know... You were I don't want to say that you attracted or like you brought in Kat and Hannah. Like you just have this tendency to bring in strays and then you feed them and they never leave.
Well, that's sort of the magic.
That's actually what happened.
That's sort of the magic of We Are Libertarians, isn't it? I mean, people who have nowhere else to go end up here. I mean, we're here for the politically homeless, the outcast of society.
We're our own little island of misfit toys.
Exactly right. You know, and Kat, you're no different than that.
No, I'm right. Extremely misfit.
That's a hell of an endorsement.
Yeah.
Kat, you know, you're one of us.
You big loser.
Oh, sorry. I have never been sexually harassed at We Are Libertarians.
Thank you. So, now Kat.
That threw you.
I asked, I'm just thinking of all the legal ramifications. No, I asked Kat that because she told me a story. She's an intern both here at We Are Libertarians and at the day job. So on Thursdays, we spend way too much time together.
Almost a disgusting amount
it
of
is.
Time.
I'm always stunned that like there's no like cooling off period.
A nice,
like,
a nice 12
hours. The rest of the week.
A nice 12-hour stretch of just Kat.
Mm-hmm.
Lots
that
of Kat.
Terrible.
No,
honestly, you're so lucky.
You rode all the way to D.C. with her for the Trump inauguration.
No, they flew there. I drove there. But we did sleep in the same bed together.
Yeah. One night, and then it was weird, so I slept on the floor. The
You got put on the floor?
She offered to sleep on the floor. Like
I can't sleep with other people. I have intimacy issues, so.
I wanted to cuddle.
Yeah, I got real weird.
And Hannah's a sleep sweater.
Ridiculous. The puddles, you would not believe.
Yeah. Did you wet? No, I was watching Cops.
Now, I bring that up because Kat dropped a little factoid. Uh-oh. She's dropped many factoids about the life that is Kat that have been amazing this week. But she was telling me about one of her past boyfriends that she mm-hmm. dated.
Speaking of dating lives, also side note, if at any time you see a little metal hand scratch me,
take my good hand.
I found a scratcher in the coffee table. Anyways, so
and you were brushing your hair with it earlier.
Right. Yeah, I forgot my brush in the car.
In a pelvic
you
region.
It in the car, which is right outside.
Right. Yeah.
It's a crab,
didn't feel like
a crab
coma. Right. Right. No. Yeah. So fun fact. I've dated many a losers in my life, but one of the most successful kids I ever dated. I cannot say his name, but God bless you, dear leader. But so seventh grade, we had to
oh in seventh God. Grade.
Hey, we were serious. It was honestly
she's
really
very sheltered.
It was a beautiful,
she did
beautiful
bring
romance.
Amish blueberry bread.
It's one of the most delicious. Successful men she's ever dated.
Exactly. So seventh grade, we were doing a unit on the Holocaust in English class. So we watched Schindler's List, right, which was very alarming and disturbing for seventh graders. But then we each had to make a project that went along with the unit we were studying. So I wrote a song to the hit Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay,
living
good.
Living on a Prayer.
Woo! If I got that wrong, that'd be awkward. Right. So I wrote a song about the Holocaust to that tune. Well, my...
a woman after Greg's own heart.
Right. Yeah. My boyfriend at the time made mustard gas and brought it to the school and had kids sniff it in the parking lot.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
He waged germ warfare on his classmates in seventh
grade?
Chemical warfare.
Yeah.
And, like, this is a real story.
True story.
What happened?
Did they call the cops?
The sad thing is no. The teacher...
It's just a little mustard gas. Even Hitler didn't use chemical weapons.
Well, we told our science teacher, hey, so-and-so has mustard gas and is, like, showing it off in the parking lot, making kids smell it for quarters. And the teacher was like...
capitalism in my heart.
And the teacher was like...
What, nerve damage?
Kind of, like, brought him aside and was like, so-and-so, is it true? And he was like, yeah, I guess. Aw, shucks, you caught me. And then that was that. Like, it was...
One, where did you go? Well, you're so young,
from
you
Elkhart.
Had the internet, but where did you go to learn about mustard gas?
This
to
kid
make
was
it?
Crazy.
Dude, we had those kids in our class.
Did we?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
My neighbors didn't? And I would make pipe bombs.
You were homeschooled.
Yeah.
Trust me, you were trying to gas yourself to get out of the misery that was no friends.
Prom.
Those wool
mom.
Skirts in the winter that were just so itchy.
Sadly, it's all true.
Yeah.
No,
you should see
we
her
made pipe bombs.
She has on right now.
We made pipe bombs on the internet. Yeah, you can find that.
Kat, today, what did you? She said, "Don't you ever find people so douchey that if you just looked at them, you go, they're just douches. I want to go blow their headquarters up."
Yeah, I did say that.
Is ISIS recruiting you?
Well, if you see a pamphlet in my backpack, it's for research.
I feel a little bit like I'm a little upset because you once took an Instagram picture of you in all black with a black baseball hat on sitting on Ball State stairs. And I wrote, "Hey, nice Columbine outfit. Don't go to school tomorrow, fam." And you deleted it and like blocked me.
I didn't block you. I encouraged it privately. Two.
There's two cats. There's public and private.
There is.
Right.
She's 20, so there's still that, you know.
That was at the time when I was heavily involved in student government. I was the chief of staff, so I had to be...
assistant to the assistant president?
Right. No, assistant to the president. Well, basically, I was the president. No, I'm kidding. I was the second.
Look at me. I have mustard gas. I am president now. I know
a guy.
I own everything. No, but I was the president's go-to, so I thought I had a political future at Ball State, and then I took this internship, and now I encourage those comments.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody loves mustard gas, and you can blame that on us.
The smell, incredible. It smells like Hobby Lobby. No.
So it smells like Kate and Gaze.
Smells like a night in a hotel room with her sister.
Hey.
That's true, because that's how you two met, was through Chloe and Agnos, who used to come on and then, you know.
Stopped, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I still love Chloe.
Love Chloe, too. Yeah.
Of course.
She just doesn't love us back. It's unrequited.
She loves me back. I don't know about you all.
She kind of likes me.
Now, what was the trip? So you went to the inaugural for Trump? Why?
Because why not?
Hannah's one of our scumbag Republicans, with Rob Kendall.
I didn't vote for Trump.
Who'd you vote for?
That's nobody's business.
Oh, she voted for Clinton.
No, Mitt Romney.
No, she voted for
Hillary
Clinton.
In the kitchen, we have your voting records. No, okay.
Yeah. Are you really?
No.
That's right, because you never were on the Trump train, but then...
Greg knows who I voted for.
I know who you voted for.
I feel like I know who you voted
for. Daryl Castle.
Greg and I had a very... I was very undecided, honestly, going into the election booth.
Being the good
libertarian
I was.
She was one of those who voted for Harambe.
I did.
Penciled the name.
Just kidding.
I would have.
I was literally messaging Greg like the morning that the election day. Vote. I was like, I literally have no idea who to vote for right now. Like, I have no clue. And going back to like my days of working presidential politics, like I thought an independent voter and an undecided voter was a non-existent thing. I was like, no, there's really nobody. Like, everybody has their mind made up. I don't know if it's just this election or if it's me or what, but
it was definitely this election. Like, there were so many people that were Mitt. Like, you were a huge Mitt fan, and the fact of pulling the lever for Donald Trump when you worked for Mitt makes you want to vomit.
Yeah, because Mitt Romney,
Mormon,
great.
Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with Mormons.
You're Mormon?
She is.
Oh, me and the Mitt Romney, the Romney boys.
She's very obsessed with Mormons.
I love Mormons.
They're very good people.
No, I follow all of these like Mormon family vloggers on YouTube. And
do you watch
their
that
daily
TV
lives.
Show, like the reality Sister Wives?
Oh, Sister Wives. Yeah, I watch that. Love should be multiplied, not divided.
You watch a lot of Mormon porn?
Yeah. So I told a joke at the office at the day job that I like Mormon porn.
Quote unquote
and,
joke.
And everybody thinks I'm serious.
Well.
Because she said it was one of those jokes.
Flat affect,
not joking. Yeah.
No, it definitely was a joke.
I have a magic underpants fetish. I just like to sit and watch two Mormons grind on each other.
I have binders full of women.
Yes. That would be a great porn. You just open up your binders and out pops magic underpants women.
No, I was thinking like actual women like laying down with like giant plastic sheets on them to like pretend to be a binder. I don't know. That's just me. Anyways, thanks for watching.
Anyways,
We Are Libertarians.
We went
listening.
To the inauguration together.
Yeah. Ah, we did.
You did a road. You drove alone.
I drove alone. I left.
Bless you, dear leader.
I left whatever morning, Thursday morning at like 2 a.m. and drove by myself.
Oh, my God.
It was the best time to drive. I made such good time.
And then you met them there?
I met them there, and we had a long day. Kat took Kat everywhere on Capitol. She'd never been.
Well, yeah. I didn't know Kat was going either.
I wasn't going
until like the week of.
Yeah. My sister asked me if I wanted to go, and I had never flown on an airplane, and I'd never been to D.C., so it was two first times. I thought that the plane was going down both times we
I've
went.
I've seen this movie.
I've seen that movie.
Is that a tower?
Probably. But it was awesome. It was a crazy experience.
It was really
then you went
good.
To an inaugural ball, right?
Yes.
Which one? Do you remember which one it was?
The Freedom Ball.
Freedom Ball.
Both sisters wore my dresses to the ball.
That's a cool
true
fact,
story.
Bender.
Wow.
Yeah. Very well, random. And it was
well,
funny.
That's why I invited you. don't forget those dresses. Hannah, could you drive 10 hours
that's
and bring those dresses? We'd love to have you.
Basically what happened. I even met them before they flew and took all of their clothes with in my car.
Because we didn't want to like check like dresses because they get ruined.
And Kyle's tux and all of that. Yeah.
But it was
so you basically were the butler.
She was the help.
Yeah.
The help.
Like, we'll meet you there, friend. Don't worry, though. You can sleep alone in the bed.
I also had all the snacks.
She really did.
Oh, my God.
Shocker.
Well, Mama Maybell.
So this trip.
She called me mom.
I did, yeah. Well, this trip was funny because I wasn't a Trump fan either, but I just went because whatever. It's like a
cool. You go just for the experience.
Well, it was crazy. I thought, I'm not even kidding, I thought we were going to get like, I thought a terrorist attack would happen for sure.
Me too. Remember the cannon?
I was just about to say, after he like was, right after he was sworn in. Like
became president?
Yeah. Became whatever. They shot off
cannons. Like he said, what's the last, like, help, so help me God or whatever the last. And they shot off cannons.
And we all were like, there's like a scream because everyone was like ducking. Yeah. They should have like warned us. It was terrifying.
There was literally like people were ducking.
And then at
people
one point,
we
left the parade and we were walking back and they all were like, oh, let's stop at this subway and eat. And I was like, can't we just go on the subway and like, is that what, the metro? Sorry.
Metro.
I was like, can't we just go on the metro back to the place we're staying and then eat? And
you were that scared?
No, I wasn't scared. I just for some reason said this. Thank God, because we get to the actual subway we were eating at and we turn on the TV there. And
my husband called me. He was like, are you guys okay? And I was like, yeah, we're fine.
There are these like people dressed in all black with these like
Antifa.
Radical. They're called like Block or something. And they were taking baseball bats, like breaking all the subway windows.
Well, the Starbucks, that Starbucks that they broke out all the windows, mm-hmm. we walked right by that.
Is like, that on K Street?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had shut down roads already protesting as we were leaving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Richard Spencer got punched in the face.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
It was wild.
It was really exciting. It was probably the
most
exciting.
It was universally well received.
Well, even when we went to the inaugural ball and standing in line for security, there were like, we were in line. There was a row of police in like riot gear, and then there were protesters on the
other
side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, riot gear were everywhere.
Yeah, it was crazy. I've never. And
people
like,
love Trump.
They threw stuff at people. Not us, but they were throwing stuff at people in line.
We were too pretty. But
we had a good time. It was great. It was the best time.
Yeah, honestly, it was a really good trip. And it was in the middle of the school, like just the semester.
Yeah, you missed
for me.
Like a class or a test, right?
Yeah, that's why I failed that class. So
which was it?
It's Journalism 103. You can only get three.
As a journalism major?
Right, so that's why I switched.
Not important.
No. You can only get three skips, and I used all three for the inauguration. And I guess he made some like really shitty comment to everyone, like, wow, so soon to use up all your skips, and then I failed the class. But honestly...
Destined for broadcasting.
Destined for it. But honestly...
You know, I'd like to check out communications.
It's a little bit easier. But I don't know. I mean... That's true. If I thinking in 10 years, I'm like, wow, I really wish I would have passed that class, or wow, can't believe I went to the inauguration.
Yeah, easy choice.
Yeah, the class. No.
Yeah.
All right. Before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about our great sponsors for this episode. Our first sponsor is our great friends at 812 Farms. It is a 2-acre commercial hop farm providing breweries and home brewers with fresh hops, whole cone hops, and hop pellets. They are opening a 250-seat wedding event venue right on the farm in beautiful Bartholomew County in Columbus, Indiana. And they just acquired a complete brewing system to open up their own restaurant and brewery. And they're striving to be Indiana's first destination brewery with ingredients that will be grown on site or within a 30-mile radius. So this episode or the next episode is, I think, our last read for these guys. You guys have been so great to 812 Farms. We want to continue to have them back. So we really need you guys. Go like their Facebook page.
We wanted to go down and do a show from there.
Absolutely. And we still will. I gave them my word. So we'll go down there and do one.
We should drink their beer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so they're starting to expand, and we want you to help them expand as they have partnered with us. As we grow, we are libertarians. We want you to help grow their farm, 812 Farms, on Facebook. It's all the words, not the numbers. Another sponsor that is starting a new business that is looking to partner with us, which means, as we have discussed so many times, Greg,
mm-hmm.
I am the listeners are me.
One and the same.
We are one and the same. And so when MartinArmory.com comes to partner with We Are Libertarians, they are saying to all of you, we want to partner with you and give you a great deal. And they're founded on a simple goal, which is to make buying a gun simple and affordable. So instead of carrying thousands of different guns, MartinArmory.com carries only 25. This allows them to focus on providing the most popular guns on the market at insanely cheap prices. And for a limited time, their prices are getting even crazier, Greg. Crazy. They are offering our listeners free shipping. So please go to MartinArmory.com and use the code WeAreLibertarians when you check out. Again, simply go to martinarmory.com, pick an awesome gun, and enter the promo code WeAreLibertarians. Again, that's martinarmory.com, and enter the promo code WeAreLibertarians. We thank both of these two small businesses for starting out. I am the son of a small business owner. I hope to be a small business owner at some point. And it's very, very important that you, as We Are Libertarians listeners, support small business owners, fellow libertarians, and our great sponsors in 812 Farms.
And the podcasting industry in general.
And martinarmory.com, of course. So thank you so much to those guys for being sponsors of We Are Libertarians. So we're going to talk about the shootings that happened in Washington, D.C. around the Republicans. Greg, I want to have a discussion with you.
What did I do wrong?
You didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, good.
I'm not mad. Uh-oh. I am owed an apology. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Can I do like a general writ, like a blanket apology for everything I've ever done wrong?
No, I personally don't believe in publishing the name of these shooters. I'm not a fan of that. And I based on reading your great article that you wrote at WeAreLibertarians.com, which I highly, what was the title of it?
Oh, please hide this post, how mass customization is driving mass casualty.
Yeah, which we will talk about because it was a great article. You used his name a lot. So I imagine that you are of the opposite mind of me. So I want
honestly, it didn't occur. I was just like literally trying to report it.
Sure.
Like, you know, just the fact listing.
Yeah, and so I
sorry about that.
No,
I'm
not
didn't
mad.
Think about that.
It's fine. Listen, you do whatever you think is best. I just tend to think that.
Yeah, you're right. Because I feel the same way. I just wasn't thinking about it when I did it. I was just trying to get something up for us.
It's not that. To me, the person that was the shooter, you can have a discussion without making their name famous about the person. And I know that other people may feel differently in that, it's a fact in the case, and so report the fact. But at the same time, I just don't, you know, I think you saw, and Kat can attest to this, you know, you see the Columbine shooters being memorialized in both dress and on 4chan.
Are these good
Not
kids?
Sure what that had to do with me, but...
Black...
We also
the trench coat.
I should True. Say before I get too far off topic, we are doing video now, and so we are upgrading our YouTube channel, and we're posting these videos on the Facebook. If you want to share the video of it, and Mittens plays a prominent role. It looks very the great look of the We Are Libertarian Studios that, and the cameras and the lights that we've got, and it looks professional. And then all of a sudden, Mittens gets up on the table and starts hanging out. So
the Roman cat.
Yep. So check out Mittens. She's very cute. but
False.
You are just some sort
Sorry,
of
Sorry, dear leader. Let me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take that.
Yes. So I would prefer not to say his name, and that is why I don't want to say his name, is that I just don't want to memorialize that name because I just don't feel like the name is important. I do think that talking about him and his motives are because I think there's a big discussion around this guy that is just, man, whenever something like this happens, the cliches that get brought
Fly.
Out, it just is so annoying. And I wish that we had some sort of hide cliche button on this stuff because I can't imagine, you know, Little Cat Anagnos on your college feed with all your sorority sisters. What is your Facebook feed like?
Well, first of all, going real quick back to you not wanting to memorialize the person. I mean,
right.
It's just like with the Boston Marathon bombers. There was that online campaign for the one who's still alive mm-hmm. to let him go because he was like hot.
Sarnev?
Yeah, because he was hot. Because he had nice hair. So it just shows.
Well, that's like the women who have boyfriends in prison.
Yeah,
I mean,
Charlie Manson has two wives right now.
Right,
it's the swastika in the middle of the forehead.
But
it's
no,
chick crack,
sexy.
It's,
woo!
What are you doing?
I got
Party
excited
foul.
When I said swastika.
Spilled your drink.
I was trying to hail, and then it just shot out of my hand.
No, but my social media feeds are just insane right now. It's a lot of very young, bleeding liberal people, which. Whatever, but they're not recognized. It's funny. Okay, for example, the Manchester bombing, I noticed you see the top comments in all of those news stories. Can we just forget about the violence of it and just really focus on, or can we just forget about the politics of this and can we really focus on the violence that happened and just, you know,
not politicize it immediately?
Not, right.
Yeah.
But yet, this one, when the Republicans are saying that. They're like, well, the silver lining here is this is what they deserve if they support guns, wow, having more guns.
Wow.
Was there that? Was it that blatant?
Oh, yeah. I kid you not. I was on Facebook and one person I'm friends with was like all about it and was like, this is awesome. And everybody was commenting.
No, they did.
Wish so-and-so died. Yeah.
Wow.
Kid you not. But they're actual socialists, like not exaggerating. They really are socialists.
Yeah. Like they read Marx and tell everybody how stupid they are and talk about ideological superstructures.
For sure. And they're all saying, wow, this is so great that this happened. These scumbags need to die. They're killing people. Like they're the ones who, they kill more people than the massacre did, or
I mean,
the almost massacre
let's
did.
Let's be honest, it's not that much different than if you were to go on a lot of anarcho-capitalist libertarian feeds.
Yeah.
Right.
The ones, some of them are real angry.
Yeah.
You know? I haven't seen that too much. I mean, most people have been pretty civil that I've encountered, but you know, that's probably just the nature of being older. Like, because I'm sure being college-age students are
having a
field day. Like, oh, look. Republicans got shot.
This is like cry-ins at the election.
Right.
Well, and that's just, like I said, it just shows...
I'm literally shaking.
Whenever something happens, like, you know, like the Manchester thing, like, we were like, everyone's like, can we stop politicizing it? But this, they're like, oh, hell yeah, like, that's great.
That's a Republican. Good. You know? You're a white male.
What did those people say when...
A Republican was killed by a... Or shot by a Bernie
supporter.
Yeah,
what did they say when it came out that he was a Bernie bro?
Yeah.
They were all saying, oh, that's not been...
That's not. How does that apply?
Yeah, how does that apply?
That's not applicable.
Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do...
Bernie
so
Sanders
what?
Came out and said a statement that he condemns any kind of violence. You can't blame this on Bernie.
Well, and they... Echoes. Oh, well, and they say it's just like, you know, not all Muslims are bad.
Yeah.
Just like there's the one ISIS. Of course, there's the one Sanders.
There's the one ISIS.
The one ISIS. But
the one true ISIS.
It's just ridiculous. And it's funny, after I... when I posted a video of myself on the podcast talking about the whole, what was it, Evergreen State?
Evergreen State.
Evergreen
College.
State. Mm-hmm. I had some people DM me who were like, hey, girl, just wondering, what did you mean by people are paying real taxes? Because I'm in college and I'm paying real taxes. So I don't know what fake taxes. And I said, oh, I misspoke, I guess. I meant a lot, like,
your fair
taxes
share.
Off of, like, an actual, like,
income.
Income, I guess, but they're
and
like, I work a full-time job at Hot Topic. No, I mean like a full-time 40-hour career, whatever.
Yeah,
so,
not you're spending money while you go get drunk and lay out by the pool.
Well,
right.
Don't you essentially make no taxes if you're making under a certain amount, because like a Hot Topic job, you're not, you get refunds. That's why you get refunds, is you're getting
well,
that
these
money
people
back.
You get
have,
refunds,
hey,
you get state, you know, federally subsidized student loans.
Well,
you don't
I was,
the full cost.
They let me know very sternly that they have worked a full-time job, they support themselves, their parents don't pay their college, they're not supported like I am, although I don't know how they know what my financial system situation is.
They just assume because you're white.
Right.
And
so,
Greek, and that you guys have all the money.
Right. I just think it's hilarious that those types of people, it's just they go from one
crisis
to another.
Oh, yeah.
One crisis to another.
They are always outraged, like perpetually
always.
Outraged. I think that, like, you know, the liberals are just like horny for boycotts. Like they absolutely masturbate to boycotts.
Like I said,
what can we boycott? What can we shame somebody? And
like I said a few
name?
Episodes ago, it's they. We've grown up in all the history books learning about different revolutions and protests, and we haven't had anything outrageous happen.
No.
So they are creating their own.
Yeah, they're like astroturfing outrage.
Right. So I feel like in 30 years or now, when my kids are, well, I don't know how. Math, whatever. But when my kids someday are
communications.
Looking... Communications.
Failed journalism.
When they're like looking at history, they're like, wow, Mom, I can't believe you were alive when horrible Republicans were around. Bleh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like that's going to happen.
I feel like...
Mom, you were racist?
Mom, are you racist?
Was the R for racism?
Mom, you're xenotransophobic, Islamophobic, XYZ.
If
I don't
you
know.
Raise children like that...
I'll personally smack you in the face.
Yeah.
No, I will condone.
Hannah will homeschool the shit out of her.
I'll do it.
I feel like your kids, based on Mama and Agnos, will be very conservative.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully.
You think so?
No,
it's
I don't
usually
know.
Like a reaction to it. Like if whatever you were raised, like around, you know, the rebellion period, you're like, no way.
I feel like this next generation, like over the next few years, we're going to see a lot of millennials especially are going to be far more conservative than we think.
Right.
Fiscally, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because we're screwed over. as the middle of the road, like, millennial, I was born basically in the middle of that. We are
so freaking screwed over.
Well, it's like we're going to pay Social Security, but we're not going
to
get it.
No. Yeah. Exactly. We pay so much in taxes. I'm married to a small business owner. It's ridiculous the amount of taxes he pays. Like,
it's always
dumb.
A fee or an additional, you know, always something.
Yeah.
It's so
well,
dumb.
And I just find that interesting that my parents are fairly conservative, but they never started.
Your mom's woke.
Fairly.
Mom's conservative isn't close.
A little bit, a little
she
bit.
She could have replaced Alex Jones on the Megyn Kelly interview.
Your mama is Pepe incarnate.
Yeah.
She is. But I just think, she never got like that until the 2012 election.
2012?
Yeah, 2012 election.
What was the 2012 one? Why?
Mitt Romney.
Oh, God. Mittens.
Mittens
and tag and toad as kids.
Right. Toad. But I just find it interesting that like my sister and I never rebelled or never had that need to
you
rebel.
You will, eventually.
Politically. I think this is my rebellion.
Yeah.
You're libertarians.
She said fuck on the internet.
I did. Well, and then we deleted it 5 minutes after.
Yeah, you are very like, you are very, you don't like it when anyone else comments and says something bad. You are the only one allowed to say offensive things.
Well, that was when I was scared about my image and now I don't give a shit. So,
would you all like to explain what she did for a good 10 minutes before we started, Hannah?
Hannah, you know what to do. Basic white girl the shit out of her.
Hard pass.
Hair flip.
Yeah. Did you do a hair flip? Yeah. Yeah, that's what she did.
She was
hair flip shamer.
She's just getting her hair ready.
Well, it's
guys,
been gross
all
day.
Over me like that.
Well, here's
you don't
the
understand. My friends
wow,
watch this.
Great.
I know my hair
it smells
amazing.
Like lemon and blueberry Amish bread.
Well, here's the problem. My mom will always say, like, she'll see. My mom is like really controlling about fashion because she thinks that I like look terrible all the time and I'm lazy.
Look like right now.
See what I mean? And so
she tells you that you look terrible all the time. And
well, she's just is always like, why don't you dress cute? I buy you so many cute clothes and you never.
You're not Chloe.
You just, well, exactly. And she's like, you just wear a t-shirt and jeans and you just need to wear. What about a nice dress? And I wore a dress with Converse and she freaked out. Freaked out. And so she, I'm afraid that she'll see these and she'll be like, your hair was sticking up at one point and it was not brushed at this one bottom half and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just looking out.
The eternal voice of the parent in our heads.
The mothering. Yeah. Like Hannah does to
like
you.
That.
Oh, yeah. Hannah's both protective and awful.
Why are you doing this? You need to do it this way. You need to do it this way.
What? I don't do that.
No, you're trying to guide Chris, young Chris, to make better decisions.
Well, because he was making some pretty terrible decisions when it came to dating.
I mean, they seemed pretty good at the time.
Can we all agree they were pretty terrible?
Yeah, not looking back, but, you know, when...
In the midst of it.
In the midst. It was great. It was great.
Anyways, thank you for listening to
making terrible making terrible decisions. Meanwhile, she's microwaving butter in foil.
No kidding. Did you not? That
fire.
Didn't occur to you?
No, I've done it before and it's never been caught on fire.
I have all this bread. I need some butter with it.
Yeah.
I do. She's, Kat was over here wearing
she
my
Snapchats
hair like
only things
food.
From the gym. And then when she's not Snapchatting, it's like, does anyone have any dry bread I can just roll into a ball? And put in my mouth. Does anybody have any carbs?
I love carbs. Carbs are
but
my friend.
The point is, you put aluminum foil
in a microwave,
wrapped butter in the microwave.
You can put certain amounts of foil in the microwave, and it's fine.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you
did
cannot.
You miss this day at homeschool?
My microwave has a metal tray that goes in it.
This sounds like one of those special microwaves.
That's
that the NSA
a wood fire oven, and that is not a
no. I think
microwave.
That's a microwave.
No,
oven.
You Amish are all the same.
To God, there's a metal rack. In my microwave that came with my microwave that
it's a microwave
stays in
oven.
There.
It's a microwave oven.
No, it's a microwave.
No, you have a microwave oven.
No.
No, it's a microwave oven.
Are you cutting costs? Is it because you're homeschooling?
No, we've gone totally organic.
Right. This bread is delicious. Speaking, if you see people on
I've never seen anyone like
good.
Just literally peel off pieces of bread and shove them in their mouth. Like without a knife.
Have you never, oh yeah.
Like she's literally like taking chunks out
there's
of bread.
There's napkins here, weirdo.
Oh, I didn't see them. No, I brought delicious, delicious lemon and blueberry bread from.
Yes, thank
Amish
you
bakery.
For bringing it for everybody.
You're welcome.
Yeah, for
I provide,
everyone.
I provide sustenance.
Sustenance
for
you guys.
Snack,
I care
mom.
About your well-being.
She laughed about that all day last Friday. She's
that
like,
was so funny.
Greg was so funny when he said that dear leader gives me sustenance.
Sustenance.
That's not
she
how I talk.
She provides me sustenance. She has a lisp.
Okay, so let's jump into our first story. Yesterday, a 66-year-old man from Illinois walked onto a baseball diamond in Northern Virginia and shot House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Four others, including a congressional staffer, a lobbyist who was a coach for the team. He was a former
staffer
and college baseball player, and two members of the Capitol Police who were also wounded in the attack. On Wednesday morning, he single opened fire on a practice session.
Should we just say the shooter? Is that what you want to do?
The
That's
shooter,
fine
yeah.
The shooter.
The shooter single opened fire on a, and again, to reiterate, we just don't want to make that name famous. We can talk about him without actually giving his name any kind of honor.
Right.
Single opened fire on a practice session, congressional Republicans for their annual charity congressional baseball game against congressional Democrats. And this raises several hundred thousand dollars for local boys and girls charities.
Yeah.
So it's all the people go, oh, well, they should have been at work. They shouldn't have been playing baseball. It's like they're human beings. They're allowed to have lives, and they're raising money for charity.
Yeah.
Which is,
but if Obama does it, then
it's bipartisan.
Exactly.
So everybody just chill.
They were, the Democrats were at practice, too. That's the thing. And then they all got called in. Their coach called them in saying, hey, we got to get you all together and get you a secure.
Breaking news, everybody. The Democrats and Republicans don't all hate each other.
Right.
Well, I hate some.
Yeah,
but it's not like all war.
No,
all
I mean,
the time.
This like, is what this, and this is a tradition. Like, it's one of the great traditions of bipartisanship.
Everybody knows this happens, so I don't know why this is late breaking news.
Because it's something to get Republicans shame Republicans.
It's something
over.
To bitch about.
Yeah,
it's really
exactly.
What it is. Like I posted a status of basically saying that one of the most controversial, if not the most controversial, opinion in America today is that politicians are human beings and deserve dignity and respect. And I know. And you would have thought that you should have seen the libertarian response to that.
Oh, boy.
And let me just say, I firmly believe that
statist.
That if we started to recognize politicians as human beings, then they would change as much as we would change in our public discourse. And I saw an MSNBC reporter on Chris Matthews last night, Hardball with Chris Matthews, that's his name. And she was just saying, you know, this is the first time I've ever been on the Hill. So somebody who is the NBC congressional reporter has been there for a while. She goes, this is the first time that I've been on the Hill where everybody is being a human being first and a member of Congress second. Politics are taking a second place to being a human being to each other. And everybody's getting along, and this has changed a lot of things. And that's really when I realized, you know what, we and our expectation of politicians are that our team is supposed to hate the other team because the other team are not human beings. They're not people. They're literally people.
Eric Trump literally said that on Fox last week.
What'd he say?
He said Democrats aren't – I don't even think of them as people anymore.
Right.
And I mean says that – and like that's the toxic environment.
That's what everybody's talking about. And I think that every listener of this audience, including all of our hosts and including me, have to sit and think about to what extent do we dehumanize the people who share different opinions than us? Not only in the people that we go to battle with on Facebook rants or on comments, but also in how we talk about politicians and how we talk about these people. You know, I think I would encourage everybody. I wish I had the audio teed up here of Joe Barton talking about his son. Congressman Joe Barton's two sons were there, and he talked about how his young son was born and. He was given several gifts at that time from congressional Democrats, and he often comes up to visit Capitol Hill, and you know he comes over, he hugs all the Republicans, and then he immediately makes a beeline for several members of Congress who are like uncles to him, including the former Congressman John Dingell. He says that his son is bipartisanship. That he is
it's just, not politics first.
It's that he's just seeing human beings that he's responding to, and that it has been hard for his son, who is younger and below 10, I believe, to understand why anybody would want to come and just try and murder his friends. And I don't think that we as Americans have to hate each other and demonize each other and dehumanize each other to win at the game of ideas. And unfortunately, we're heading that direction. That's the direction that, unfortunately, I think we're on that permanent collision course. I think Trumpian politics are here to stay. Even if Donald Trump, let's say Donald Trump gets impeached or Donald Trump doesn't win re-election and we get a Democrat in the office, everything that the Democrats are doing, they're setting a template. The Republicans set a template with Bill Clinton, which,
George W. Bush.
Which followed the Democrats to counter-serve under Bush. Then the Republicans counter-served all that. And
if
now,
it hadn't been for 9/11, it would have been so nasty and toxic. Like, that staved off a lot of this.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the statuses that I see, along with so many cliches about guns, which we'll get into, in all of this are just that, well, I hope that this changes the other people. I hope that this changes the discourse of them, the politicians, or this makes the left get their act together, or this will make the politicians realize that they're all violent extremists bringing violent force against us, which we do not disagree with. Government is force. Government is the force of a gun demanding that you do something.
And it's easier to accept because you're just, you know, giving it somebody else on your behalf.
But that doesn't mean that in a counter strike, you can all of the sudden start shooting people on a baseball diamond. So
over tax cuts.
Right. I mean, it is not the radical left that created the 66-year-old man to go out and shoot people. It's mental illness. And the fact that we are sitting here talking about guns, we're sitting here talking about the behavior of Donald Trump and congressional Republicans and congressional Democrats, or them, that's all bullshit. The fact is this man will likely be ruled as somebody who is crazy if they were ever to get to the full bottom of the story. Every other mass shooter has just been nuts, and he is taking out his psychosis within the realm of politics as opposed to his school, you know, and it is unfair to blame Bernie Sanders. And I just
it's unfair to blame Republicans for not supporting tougher gun law. I mean, the guy's from Illinois.
Absolutely.
He bought the guns legally, completely.
Right.
Which is hard to do in Illinois.
Right. They don't, right. Like in Chicago,
they don't give those
theoretically,
away
you can't
there.
Get them right. Unless you're a criminal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sickened by so many of the cliches and everybody missing the point. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a time when we all can sit and reflect and go, how are my words contributing to a toxic political environment?
I don't know that I want to do that.
I know. We're the mean boys of liberty. But at the same time, I think one of the founding principles of We Are Libertarians is that we must recognize the humanity of every person that exists. And you cannot be a libertarian without valuing each individual human being. And if you as a libertarian are not doing that over politicians, then you are not being libertarian.
Yeah, it's hypocritical.
You have to understand that these are human beings with emotions and feelings, and when you can then try to empathize with them, well, they don't empathize with us. Well, have you...
Where do you think that ends?
Hannah's a Christian that's married. Have you heard of The Love Dare?
Yeah, of course.
What's The Love Dare?
The Love Dare is like, it's this Kirk Cameron movie where basically he's getting divorced and things are just on the rocks.
I know. Yeah. Kirk Cameron getting divorced.
There's a crisis.
Yes.
And he just cannot figure out.
What's the actual movie called?
Can you Google it? It's a Kirk Cameron movie.
He's like a firefighter or something.
Yeah.
It's called...
The Love Dare.
The Love Dare is
this is fascinating.
The Love Dare is the book.
It's a good story.
It's a campy little Christian
movie.
It's
like a Nicholas Sparks thing.
Kind of.
But basically he's
fireproof.
He's sitting there going, I just don't understand why she won't change. And then eventually all of his firefighting buddies just go, dude, you're the one with the problem. And I think that, and so he starts doing all these little things to try and change his behavior. And I found The Love Dare to be like, it didn't save my marriage, but it did extend it about 6 months because our relationship did improve because I recognized that I was doing things that were harsh and hard-hearted. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we're ever going to get leadership in politics that recognizes humanity, then we must speak to them in a humane way. And we're not doing that. We're not allowing them either to be real and authentic because then we'll vote their ass out.
Well, I will personally say, so somebody who used to be like a diehard Republican, raised super conservative, I have come a long way from that.
Yeah.
Because
you've come a
long
way from 2012.
I've come so far from that. And honestly, I've gotten out of politics because of the fighting. My best friend is a Bernie Sanders loving bitch, like that's just what she is, and I love her for it. Like, she's my best friend. I can't help it. But
she's really irritating on Facebook. You'd hate her.
My
Greg.
Best friend is great.
She's great, but she's
she takes
Jessica
my
Ohio,
side against yours. No,
no,
she takes my side against Chris's. No, that's why Chris doesn't
no,
like her.
She's like, oh my god, feminist and Bernie.
Oh, that's Amanda. Yeah. That's yeah. not. Oh. That's Amanda. She's
hey,
also
we don't
really
name
a friend of mine. No, that's fine. I have two different.
Are you
friends.
Talking about Megan?
She has two.
Oh,
friends.
Megan. I have multiple
two
friends. I have multiple friends that are Democrat and ranging in left whatever. And we all respect each other. We don't agree with each other's opinions, but
we don't talk about it because we know there's zero point in talking about it. And we're good friends. Like, we are literally my best friend. When I voted or worked for Mitt Romney, voted for Barack Obama. Like, that's a stab in the heart. But she's my best friend. And so, like,
was.
She's no, then she voted still,
for Barack Obama.
She still is. Sorry. And she voted for Bernie, and then she voted for Hillary. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so the point is, like, I just got away from the, like, you have to separate yourself from that, and you have to really honestly realize that people are allowed to have different opinions. You're not always right. They're not always right. And that's part of it. And I will yell at anybody who called President Obama any other derogatory term. I get angry at people who call President Trump any sort of derogatory term. Like, it's not okay. They have a level of office. I would contend
you hated Trump. You had like a natural aversion to Trump more so than you did even Obama.
Yeah, but still, he's still the president. And if Hillary had won, she would still be President Clinton. Like, you have to respect their offices. You don't have to disagree or agree with them. And you don't have to keep it inside of you, but you have to be respectful. You have to admit that other people are allowed to have their own opinions. And you just have to you just all need to hold hands and sing kumbaya. I don't know.
I guess I don't necessarily toleration. Agree. I guess yeah. I don't necessarily agree that you have to respect the office, but I do think that you don't need to go out of your way to. I guess really what I'm trying to say is that you need to never lose sight on the fact that, like, these people bleed. And
they're human beings.
Making fun of Barron Trump makes you a shitty person, for
right?
instance.
Or holding up the head of scowls Donald Trump. Expertly. Then Kathy Lee Griffin was like, right. "Oh well, who wasn't against Barron? Well, he's a little kid. Of course, he's going to be bothered by the fact you're holding a head, his dad's head."
Ooh. Well, and I think it's interesting that you brought up the point of tolerating others, because you see, well, me personally, I mean, on a college campus, yeah. If you're, yeah. like I've said before, if you're a Republican, you're a Nazi, basically. Like, everybody
they wish
is,
you had been shot yesterday.
Right. Everybody's liberal. Everybody's a Democrat. But I still, some of my best friends are Democrats or liberals, whatever. But it's just interesting because these people are some of my best friends, yet later that day on Facebook, and I'm sure you guys noticed, especially during the election, so many posts saying, this is it. If you support Trump, if you support so-and-so, unfriend me right now.
I unfriended some people.
Click right now, because I just don't understand. And I never did. But part of me
totally
is like...
Did.
I was asked to leave a wedding party.
Are like, you kidding?
As a groomsman, no. Swear to God.
For real?
Yeah.
What?
I still got invited, but I was not a groomsman any longer.
What?
Swear to God.
Did you go to the wedding?
Yeah, of course. I don't care.
And that's the thing. It's just
I would have trolled it. I would have been...
Going on MAGA shirt.
Greg's a good person.
No, it just doesn't matter that much.
But
does anyone have any?
I'm staging a cry-in at your wedding.
Apologize.
But that's just the thing. It's like they preach love and acceptance and all of this stuff for all people of different races and backgrounds and sexual orientations. Yet if you have a different political view than them.
If you're center right, even if you're center right of them, if you're like Howard Dean now, he was such a oh my god, like Howard Dean. If you listen to the latest Ezra Klein podcast with whoever the lady that was that helped run the tech on his campaign, you listen to that podcast about the Howard Dean campaign, and you realize how far left the modern Democratic and the progressives have gone now. To the point that the Antifa people are just like, they're Leninist revolutionaries trying to. I mean, we're back to the Weather Underground days,
exactly.
And
the militant Soviet left.
And if you're just a traditional Indiana Democrat, you're
John Gregg would have no home in a Democratic Party anymore.
Well, and that's what I think is interesting is to combat what I just said is these people say, well, of course. We don't agree with you. It's not about political parties. It's about you supporting a openly bigoted, racist, homophobic, horrible person. Like, if somebody was a Nazi, we wouldn't respect them. So that's basically you're as bad as them.
Right. Yeah, you are a Nazi because Trump's a Nazi. Because
I just be like, have you met Hillary Clinton?
But the point, right. the point,
she
like,
eats children. She drinks
she's
their
like
blood.
Actually, a horrible person.
She has guru disease.
Dab.
Yeah.
She's creepy.
The reality is that we used to have labels for people's ideologies, ideologies.
It was disagreements like political philosophy.
People used to think, is my point.
Yep.
And so now you can't label emotions. Like, you can label emotions like angry and sad, but when you start spiraling into, well, he is all these adjectives, and you just can't even challenge it. It's just, it's a bizarre state of the world, and... it's led us to a darker place, and I just don't know how we again, we can't fix other people. All we can do is just focus on our behavior and trying to find out rational, reasonable sources like this, where we're trying to create a home for people who don't fit into all these crazy, you know, like, we're just not... We're not extremists.
No, you know, I mean, we're very much pragmatic, but above all else, we're moderate. We have our views, but we're not going to say we need to do this today. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a libertarian, but I'm not saying we need private police in Southport, Indiana right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what we're not even remotely ready for. That. It'd be counterproductive. And so it's sad. I mean, I don't know what you do. Donald Trump's kind of the perfect culmination of all of this because he's an abstraction. Do you, any of you think of Donald Trump as a person? I don't.
I've lost track of him. Yeah.
Like no, but I mean, I never remember him being a person first. Well, like, because it was Trump, the brand, the bigger than life.
Well, and that's
always been a buffoonish, you know, like abstraction or, you know, thought.
Right. And well, and that's interesting. It's, I've never thought of him, and it's not like in a derogatory sense. It's true. Like, he's the brand, except for, was it Ivanka who just posted that picture of, like, it was like a cartoon of, like, God hugging. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump and said, like, please pray for my father.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I was like,
he's real.
Even, well, right. And even me, I'm not like a huge Trump hater. I mean, I don't like the guy, but I'm not one of those people out on the front lines. And even me, that was like, wow, like, you take a step back. So I'm like, can't imagine if that did anything for the actual psychos, but probably not. But.
No, I mean, that's the thing, is the lines are drawn. And then a lot of it too is like, this guy, like, I think he was rational because he talked to the mayor. The former Democratic mayor of Alexandria lost this last November, but he went to the same YMCA that this guy was out in the lobby mm-hmm. using his laptop all day on forums and on internet, on the websites. And so he was completely rational. He was talking to him. He goes, hey, you know, I'm from Illinois. I'm here for a trip, and then I'm looking for work. He's a former home inspector. That's what his job was.
Right.
And so his business shut down. He left his wife back in Belleville, Illinois. And so he was asking him for work. He asked him for restaurant recommendations. He was asking him for all different kinds of things. And every time politics was brought up, they'd say something negative about Trump, or, you know, it'd be a conversation with the group. He would keep it to himself or be like, yeah, I agree with you guys. And was very, very like, that's what was scary to me, how he behaved. And the fact that he shuts down his business, almost self-radicalizes with progressivism by and in his entire existence had become the internet.
Right.
How, like,
he was sitting in the lobby.
On?
2 months. He left Illinois.
I'll bet you it was a chemical imbalance. Like, something snapped in his head.
So you're saying his entire existence became the internet.
He's been all this. Well, he became an obsession because he volunteered.
I'm running away. I'm hiding right now.
Basically, he was a leftist shitlord. And then
did
James
Neese podcast?
Threatened to sew him out of a helicopter. And then here we are. No, fuck you, cat.
What'd you say?
Why don't you
so
check
did he have
your
a podcast?
Again?
Shut up.
But yeah, I mean, he really went down the well because he's talked to his wife, but he just went on. The neighbor came and asked, you know, is he okay? And asked the wife, and she did an interview with ABC yesterday. And he just went on a trip for a couple months and lived out of a white van. I used the YMCA to shower and work out, and then used their internet all day sitting in their. But that's the thing, is the mayor was like, this was a stable guy. Like, no, like, irrational anger.
Yeah, but that happens. Like, that's part of mental. I mean, anything.
You can
you
be
get
calm.
Sick and you just, like, you're fine one day and you're literally dying.
I just wonder
sick
if he didn't spin himself into a frenzy reading only, like, reaffirming things.
Hey, honestly, I wish we could delete Facebook and Twitter and all social media from everything.
I'm not going to lie. As much as I love social media because it gives me a career and it's given us a platform, I'll tell you, did any of you see the piece on 60 Minutes this past week on
Aaron Andrews
on your phones? And we'll have to put these in the show notes on WeareLibertarians.com, but this piece on the cell phones that the Google ethicist basically
are you telling me about that?
He is now speaking out saying,
yeah,
your phones are incredibly addictive.
More so than any drug you could take.
It is changing your brains. Like, we did an episode somewhere in the 100s that I saw where we talked about books where
long-form reading's gone. There's no attention span time for it.
Right.
I used to love to read, and I struggle with reading now.
Yeah. I swear to God.
It's terrible. Like, there are days I wish I could just go back to it. Like, I'm really tempted to go back to a flip phone, not going to lie.
Yeah, because the dopamine hit
Oh, it's enormous.
Of these devices and of Facebook, that they basically were saying that this one guy who runs a neuromarketing digital firm in
LA. They basically just exploit and try to rewire your brain.
Yeah, they hold, like, Instagram, for instance. Instagram holds likes and then releases the likes.
Based on an algorithm perfectly designed to get you to come back.
Kat, what were you doing?
Literally. Instagram. Well, actually, I was, but I was just checking. My mom just sent a text. Funny. Shooting on I-465, which is the interstate in Indiana. Somebody was shooting at a truck with a Make America Great Again flag and sticker.
Really?
Is that confirmed, or is that from Conservative Treehouse?
Well, that's why I was on Facebook. I was on Facebook trying to see if it was real or not.
Did Washington Post do fake news again?
Isn't that interesting that she just went to Facebook to fact check that and not Google?
Well, that's the thing. Oh, yeah.
It's faster.
Facebook is, for people 45 to 25, 64.6% of our information originates from there.
Yeah.
Which is terrible because Facebook is full of fake news and everybody knows it.
Exactly.
And that's like what the friends
especially we are libertarians.
Yeah. Right.
And the reason I check it, it's faster. Like, do you know how it's annoying when there's like, okay, when I was in high school, there was a shooting at a.
I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah.
Did you date him?
Yeah, it was my boyfriend. No.
Was weird.
Somebody shot up the supermarket that's like 5 minutes from my house, and we were just refreshing the live feed.
Goddamn cantaloupes.
Hey, two people died. No, but we were like,
real?
Yeah, no, it was messed up. But
kind of bad now.
We were somebody's mom. No, but we were like refreshing the news app over and over.
Dead moms are not funny.
It takes forever for the news to actually update.
They weren't updating.
Because they have to check facts.
Yeah, they're hamstrung because they have to get two sources before they can publish.
Yeah.
Whereas other places can go on
like blog,
anonymous source if you're Washington Post.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or New York Times.
But
that's what they did today.
Yeah. So it is. It's maddening. And I'm not by any means one of these people who thinks that the internet or anywhere should be censored. But after watching that 60 Minutes piece on the cell phones, you know, where like Instagram just basically holds back likes and then dumps them so you get notifications at a time specifically tailored to you, mm-hmm. that they know you may have a break in your day because we are rhythmic creatures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then it lures you into your phone. And now we're at a point where two out of every 5 minutes for most people are spent on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an incredible statistic.
Yeah, I mean, it is the operating system of the new world. Like, it is Microsoft Windows, just in a different form.
Two of the best decisions I ever made. The first one was turning off push notifications for Facebook.
Yes. Yep, I did that.
The second one
was deleting my Facebook app. And now, in order to check Facebook, I have to either be on my computer or actually log on to the Facebook site on my phone, which is a pain.
Sent from browser.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for real. Like, those two items, like, changed my life. And except for my mom and a few people that would kill me if I deleted Facebook,
would be your best decision.
I would probably delete
Facebook. So my thing is where does it end? Is this going to turn into, like, for example, a super, you know, hipster and trendy thing to do is to, oh, yeah, we ride our bikes everywhere instead
of
driving.
It already is.
So do you think the new trendy thing is, because I've heard a few, like, celebrities talk about it, you think the new trendy thing is, yeah, I got rid of my smartphone, I just have a flip phone?
I think so.
Because Ed Sheeran just, took a year off to do music. He was like, yeah, I don't have a phone anymore. I just have an iPad.
Andrew Luck has a flip phone.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe, and I think I've said it on the show before, that I think by the end of this year, you will see a movement starting to appear of people who are taking a stand against using social media and spending all their time on their phone. Because I just think that we're starting to recognize that after 9-10 years of having all these things, it's great, but it is hurting us in a way that is...
That is
not good, but at the same time...
The question is it hurting us or is it just changing us?
It's changing us, but at the same time, I think I can tell you I am not as smart as I was before 2010 when I got an iPhone.
I haven't had a good night's sleep since I was 16 and I got my iPhone.
You're kidding.
Well,
because I check it. I'm on it constantly.
I sleep texted her sister this morning. I sleep texted Chloe.
Something that was very interesting is... Last week, I think, I was with Chloe. We were doing mock panel judges for Miss Indiana contestants. So we were, like, doing their interview, like, mock interviews. And the girls had to come up with a platform. And then another question on their, like, resume is, if you had another platform, what would it be? All of the girls, ages, I don't know, Miss Indiana contestants are, what, 18 to 22-ish, 23-ish? all of them, their second platform would be social media and how it is bad and affecting their generation.
Well, really? And
yeah, all of them.
I think
I have noticed in having interns and being around a lot of interns, the younger millennials, people like our friend Jeff Vibbert, for instance, or Kat, they're very protective about what information is actually put out about them. Whereas the older millennials like myself just don't really care because it was so new. Yep. And we were old enough to make the decision as to what we would put out there or not. Whereas Kat had Snapchat in high school. Like, we didn't have cell phones in high school.
Well,
you know?
No, I got my first cell phone when I got my driver's license.
Right.
Well, and that was a flip phone.
And the interesting thing is that we, a part of our school curriculum was based on social media and how, like,
which part?
Social media bullying, I guess.
Oh, cyberbullying,
like,
yeah.
Cyberbullying.
Greg's an expert,
I didn't invent it, but I made it an art form.
But it's so funny because in elementary school, that, what the heck was that? But it wasn't until middle and high school is when it was really really pushing on cyberbullying, less on physical bullying. That's why
psychological bullying is way worse.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, when these shows come out, like Netflix's 13 Reasons Why, and you see these kids, or you watch old movies or TV shows from, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, and you see these kids getting older. You see these kids getting
fucking ageist.
You know, like, beaten up and their lunch money stolen, and it's just so unrealistic. But the people in charge of these TV shows and movies, because that's how it was, that's then, how bullying was then, they think that's how it is, and so it's really not registering for kids because
it's
now
not
it's
not
all
our
online. It's yeah. all online.
So the 60 Minutes piece talked about, it was by Anderson Cooper, and Anderson had all these. You've eaten half a loaf of blueberry bread, Hannah.
Hey,
stop
this
it.
This is my second slice, and the butter is soft now.
I might
also
a
on
bit
fire. It's been singed around the edges.
It's
I
fine.
Love
burnt butter.
We have a chair just off camera, and Mittens is just judging the shit out of just, Hannah.
It's
the literal
feline bullying.
Lack of shits that I give about how. Oh my don't. God, he's so judging
yeah.
me.
Look at it's so awesome.
Just assume the cat's gender.
I'll post a photo of it on
don't
the
check
Instagram.
Your don't check your Facebook because they are just cyberbullying the shit out of you right now.
Out of who, me?
No, the cat.
Cat
space.
I basically have I will take a photo and put that up on our Instagram. But
that was so bad. That was terrifying, guys. I think he's gonna come kill me in my sleep.
Well, if you keep misassuming her gender, she's going to. So, in this piece, Anderson Cooper had his phone just out of reach, and they hooked him up to all these monitors, and they started texting him. And every time that he had a text message and he couldn't read it, he had all these like physiological reactions,
neuroses. Yeah,
and they've determined that that moment causes cortisol. That if your phone is out of reach and you hear a ding, cortisol shoots. So your phone is making you fat. Cortisol is the hormone.
I'm throwing my phone away right now.
Right, like so.
Give me some more blueberry bread with butter.
That's not the phone, honey.
Yeah. Podcast audio bullying.
Fuck off, bitch. Yeah.
Might be that bread and that extra helping of butter you just spread all over there.
Sorry, you can't sit at this table anymore. You're not a plastic.
That's good Irish cream butter. So
it looks delicious.
Yeah,
it's
I'm about
good.
To have a little bit like
this. So
it's a little hard still, but it works.
You have cortisol is the stress hormone, and it is basically the biological reason that you have cortisol. Is that it says, hey, we're in danger of dying, store this fat, store this energy. So your phone is making you fat. That is a lot of
so that's
butter,
released
Kat.
From
yeah.
the anxiety
can
from
I
not being able to check.
You're,
all right,
yep.
this is my phone.
Yeah, you're gone.
That's an Opal. Nobody's impressed.
Yeah, it's a Samsung.
It's an Obama phone.
No, it's actually
a piece of
a
shit.
A Motorola, and it's really a piece of shit. I'm getting a new phone. Oh, I'm getting a new phone either this month or next.
Nice.
So we'll see what I get.
Get a flip phone.
I might.
Do
I
it.
Mean... And here's the thing, social. And correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so middle school, because I got my first I've got the iPhone 4 in white.
Of course you did.
Right, of course. 2012, I think, yeah. So I was a sophomore in high school, 16th birthday. And I know, I was little.
Oh, man.
And then, so 4 years ago, 3, 4 years ago, it was
horrible, the amount of texting during class.
Well, they eventually installed those machines to knock out wireless service.
Right.
People just logged on the internet.
Texting during this, texting during that. I mean, people were glued to their phones. Mm-hmm. And I think now, three, four years later, I think people are glued to their phones, but I think not necessarily. I feel like a courtesy was kind of learned. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because I feel like people my age especially, I don't look in class and, you know, people aren't texting
glued
nonstop
to their phone all the time.
But yeah,
I think our age is.
So like I don't,
mine is definitely.
Is
so,
it? Mm-hmm. Well, I know for like for our generation, and then like so I'm God, I'm gonna be 32, but for like us, there's actually it's a phenomenon called flubbing. So like when you're out at like dinner with friends and all you're doing is looking at your phone, it's mm-hmm. Flubbing. So it's phone ignoring.
Yeah,
that's the like phrase for it.
See, and I don't know
because you're sitting
if
there looking at your phone while you're doing a podcast right. And not paying attention.
I'm listening. It's flubbing.
Well, and
it's
I
where
don't
you go clubbing. Flubber.
Right, right.
Jiggle to the left.
And I don't know if it's just my. I kind of caught the mm-hmm. end of learning about cyber, like because I feel like older people, it was all just wow, check out these cool new products. But my generation really caught the first wave of hey, we're starning to recognize problems. So we learned.
You're not so addicted. Because also, you guys, it's interesting. You don't have like user patterns that mirror ours. Like, we were obsessed with Facebook. So we came from MySpace, uh-huh. transitioned right. over. Then it was Twitter's cool, but then we got bored with it. You guys are distributed across a bunch of different
yeah.
ones, like Visco.
Yeah.
Then Tumblr for you and your
What's
Taylor
Visco?
Swift blog.
Right.
It's an Instagram competitor. Like even,
it's like a photography app.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm old.
I think it's. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I just think my age group, we caught the first wave of learning about courtesy with phones, with smartphones, with that kind of stuff. So
was that like, learned, or was that like, or was that like reactive that you just observed and noticed, or was it like proactive drilled into you?
You know, I remember a few like my public speaking classes. We would learn about like business classes, job interview classes. Whenever like job fair people would come,
professional development.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't know the word, obviously, but not professional. But yeah, so I don't know, and I can only imagine. It must be worse for younger kids. I know, like, I think elementary or middle and high school kids now that I know still, all they do, it's less thought-driven and more image-driven.
Yeah.
So all they are on is Snapchat and mm-hmm. Instagram. Whereas my age group, Hannah's age group, it's all about, here's Twitter, my open diary. Here's mm-hmm. Facebook.
Let me
tell you what I'm eating right now.
Exactly.
The idea of sitting down and reading a book.
Ooh, I bet you taste nasty. Not that I would know.
The idea of sitting down and reading a book for generations after ours is gone. We are now going to return to storytelling and verbal storytelling in the way that Homer shared information. Mm. You had these stories being told and passed down through generations as a way of remembering because they didn't have writing. And I think that's really where we're headed. We're heading towards digital memory and
we still communicate
photos.
Even more efficiently because like we use photos and audio,
right.
And so it's. I mean, you can make the argument that it's way more efficient because you're actually sending and transmitting more information
much quicker. But and so I want to tie this all back to the shooting because I feel occasionally a little like there's a psychosis around my use of my phone. Like, do you ever just get like you just there's like this just this weird feeling that I have sometimes when I don't have my phone or I'm not near my phone or like I just like I don't know. I just get I get crazy yeah. You know, or I just am
anxiety
yeah, and I wonder in the older generations such as the baby boomer generation, like the shooter was of the baby boomer generation, they've really taken Facebook by storm and turned it into a real shithole. Like
my grandma's hilarious.
So I think we're much more thoughtful about a lot of the I don't see a lot of younger people going hard on the Facebook. It's the older generations who are like just I don't know if they just get old and go senile and just start saying the craziest shit online, but
I think it's
it's your older Aunt Donna who's posting shit where you're just like,
oh my gosh,
what?
I troll the crap out of some of those old people.
And I don't know what
so
that,
easy.
I don't know what that is, but I'm wondering if just social media has just kind of elevated that disconnection that sometimes I even feel.
But think about it. Like, those older people, they, and I say this with all love in my heart because I have some grandparents who are this way, but, like, they were the racists. They were. They were the racists. They were, like, they were the anti, like, the 70s, the love whatever.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Like, yeah, pretty much. And so they've all felt this way for a very long time, and now they have a platform to, like, actually blast their beliefs, and they don't understand that when they were doing that when they were younger, they were with people that agreed with them, but now it's on a social media. Like, they don't understand the concept of social media. They just think that they can get on there and blast all their stuff in all caps, and everybody's going to agree with them. They don't understand.
All caps. Those,
they do.
Oh, God, yeah.
No,
why are you screaming?
Like, I'm friends with a lady named Pearl Sparkman. This lady, she posts some of the craziest all cap stuff.
Well,
I've
and
ever
you
seen.
Have to think
they just don't grasp like that concept.
And so, in the same way that Cat only sees Cat aged people, this guy is seeing baby boomer nut jobs there, and they have the same level of argument, only probably a little more vicious that we do on ours.
Well, and here's the thing: 2 points. One, I think also it's because Facebook is such a user friendly platform.
It would have never won out if it wasn't.
And here's the here's
God bless
the thing:
Mark Zuckerberg.
That age group, they're not as they're not good with technology, so they're not going to be able to learn 2, 3, 4 new platforms. Facebook's easy and it's available.
It's like a phone company,
and it's everything they need. It's Facebook. If you think about it, like Instagram, Twitter, it stole from
Send
Facebook.
Money.
Right,
money.
Instagram
everything
is owned by Facebook.
Yep,
like
they
stole from it and they bought it. So it's. Why learn all these separate platforms when they can just use one big one? It's easy.
Well, it's it's economies of scale. Like, it makes any network is direct. Like, any network, every time someone joins it, it actually doubles in value. Like,
right.
More so. What is that law? That's like a K factor or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's so any network that's that way, and that's why they inevitably take over and win viral growth.
Well, and the other thing is that if I didn't know better, okay, so I know you. It's funny, but Tumblr, for example, very young kids use it, very liberal. It's the most liberal website.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's why I mock it and make fun of it, because
it's
snowflake convention.
Well, and here's the thing. If I didn't know better, I'm scrolling through Tumblr. Let's say I had no knowledge of politics. Doesn't matter how old I am. I would completely be consumed. These kids are so crazy, so hateful. They're the ones. That's the platform I was talking about. The kids who say
they're the ones that like twist professors' necks. And
even
though they're liberal, the professor's liberal. They're just willing to allow diversity
of
opinion.
They're the ones who are saying, "Wow, we need to enslave white people." Like the craziest stuff
that
we make fun of.
That's the only way we'll get social justice.
I dare you.
Well, and the craziest stuff that we make fun of comes a lot of times from those young kids on Tumblr. And like I said, if I didn't know any better, and I was just scrolling through Tumblr, I mean, some of the stuff, the rhetoric they use. I would believe it.
Oh, it's dystopian. It's so far removed from actual reality, but in that cocoon, in that incubator, it's almost a constant battle to see who can have the most shock value.
Exactly. And here's the thing. They have little nuggets of truth in there. They have little fact checks in there. Like, they're very good at what they do. I mean,
they're good at crafting
group.
A narrative and only using things that support their positions.
So it's just, that's what scares me, is these younger and younger kids are using platforms, whereas Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, if you say that kind of stuff, you'll get called out. But Tumblr, no other older, because Tumblr's a very hard interface to use. It's compared to
Facebook, it's
Twitter.
Not a natural, it's a picture blogging platform, and you're not used to like interacting with others on it. It's just purely like promotion.
Exactly.
Like a food diary.
Right. And I'm 20.
Like a keto diary.
Good God.
And I'm 20, and
did you
I'm,
really say that?
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot about social media, but for
hair flip.
20. But Tumblr is just, I've been on it for like a year and a half, and I still am like, I don't know about this. So it's just these younger and younger kids who are getting incorporated into it are having these ideas. And I'm like, this is the root of the problem. Like, it's Tumblr. Like, this is where these people are coming from. And I think they're starting to bleed over to the bigger platforms.
They can. I mean, everything's going to go that way, though, because everything's driven. It's like the Instagram algorithm. So that was what I was kind of writing about in that article, is that the better Facebook gets at giving you what you're already wanting, the more your time you're going to spend on it.
Yeah.
So it has a specific like disincentive to never give you anything new that you may not click on, or expose you to anything you dislike that you've already showed a preference for. So it just gradually keeps feeding you. It creates an echo chamber. It amplifies, because the more time you spend on something, you can't help but become consumed by it. And you kind of go from, like this guy went from a passionate Bernie supporter. Mm-hmm. He wanted to stand up to corporate greed and corruption.
Which is fair.
Yep. And absolutely. It's completely fair, because that is the whole, like a lot of libertarianism, the whole point is that government always ends up being corrupt.
Right.
You know, it's not that the government
is an evil entity. It's that people end up exploiting it to force it on others and then take advantage of it by using it to buy influence. Mm-hmm. And so this guy wasn't a weird guy. Like, he was a Bernie volunteer, passed out flyers. They interviewed people that he supported or worked with. Yes, he was passionate, but no, he wasn't a radical. This is all the way up until like last week when the mayor talked to him in the lobby of the YMCA, the former mayor. And so then, though, where does it cross over when your world becomes so narrow and so intense that you just lose grasp on reality?
Yeah.
There's just like it's like he just, some step.
He snapped.
Yeah, it was a slow boil, but then something happened but he was calm. And so he watched behavior to see when was a good opportunity to, you know, that he could exploit and go after them. And he went and legally purchased two guns, purchased a 9mm and then a 7.62 caliber rifle.
In Virginia?
No, in Illinois, legally.
Wow.
Yeah, completely legally.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because he'd been charged for battery, but it was dismissed. And it was a dispute, a domestic-style dispute with his daughter and her boyfriend.
Probably didn't like the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Probably
he was probably a libertarian. He was probably a condescending libertarian talking about, if you would just read Rothbard.
Your cat is freaking me out.
My cat knows people. She just does, she knows people. Good judge really of
character.
Well.
She's staring at you right now. He, she, it, whatever it is.
And now it's judging Spangle for associating with you.
Yep.
Like, legit.
She's just cutely sitting on a chair. It's so adorable.
No, cats are terrible creatures.
Check it out on We Are Libertarians Instagram.
Human being.
If she could, she would have a fake doll of your head hanging from her right paw.
Man, I got to tell you, cats are the ultimate predators. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the premise of your article that you wrote, and get into it a little more deeply, that we're building these silos.
And we don't even mean to.
Right.
Because these things we use to communicate and where we're getting our news from are specifically designed to keep us coming back, to give us anxiety when we don't check them.
Right.
To remap our neural networks so that we only can take short bursts, 140 characters, bullet notes. Like, most people, I used to love, well, one, most books are bad right now. That's the other thing, is if you go to the book section and go to the political or current affairs, it's Bill O'Reilly porn. Like, it's no great thinker. It's, you know, people who have a group of fans, and so they give them a book. Like Milo.
Melissa.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny. Except she's self-published. Awkward. And but then, like, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Fan of herself.
Right. Like,
Milo.
Well, but I mean, he's no great thinker, but he was given a $250,000 book deal because he had a group of people that would buy it, not because he was good at his craft.
It's everything is that way. I mean, that's why chicks on the right have a freaking radio
show. Rob Kendall's their producer.
I know he is. Oh, Rob.
Yeah,
I'm invited to his wedding. Are you, Chris?
I
you guys, they hashed it out.
I know.
Yes.
They're besties.
I'm only going to the wedding unless there's an apology.
Speak now or forever hold
your
peace.
I'm going to the wedding, so.
It's going to be fun, like your wedding.
Speaking of weddings, Chris Spangle still has never bought me a wedding present.
Oh, that's.
When's your wedding
anniversary?
Over a year ago.
Yeah, it was last July.
See,
it was last March.
See, I missed. You have to have the gift in before a year after, so I do apologize. You're right. That was very bad of me.
Did you just publicly apologize?
I did. I owe her an apology.
I told you. She's the only girl that can, like, boss you around.
No, that's not true.
I was not expecting that. Apology not accepted.
I'm in the wrong.
But that was March. Oh, yes, right at the end of March because it was nice out that day.
The end of March. Yeah, it was 70 degrees the end of March.
I have lots of bootleg footage from the wedding if you want to see it.
We got to see Kat's sister's most awkward white person dance moves I have ever seen.
They were terrible.
Horrendous would be a good description.
She came to my wedding, or came early and fluffed my dress. She was literally laying underneath my dress.
You guys became besties like right before your wedding.
Yeah, we pretty much became besties.
She did it
right
just to get the
she infiltrated.
I basically
did not get an invite.
I have created a network of my own misery. I take all these women in the past that I tried to date. I put them in a group chat. They become best friends, and then they just make fun of me.
Then they tell
I never got put in that.
Yeah, you did.
No,
you quit.
I didn't. Did I?
You quit. You're like, these basic bitches suck.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
You did.
Tried to date me? No.
No, but I liked seeing your cleavage.
That's. Did you notice? There's none.
I've never wanted to date you.
You're full of crap.
No, I'm dead serious.
No, you're full of crap. You tell everybody. Yeah, there was this one time she was over at my apartment.
Oh, that is true.
And we just looked at each other and we thought about cuddling. Side note, I never had that thought run through my head.
No, that is true.
You
there
say
was
that.
A moment.
And then we were like,
there was a moment.
No, that'd be weird.
We were both lonely
False.
And vulnerable.
It was in person sliding in DMs.
It was.
It was
IRL DMs.
It was me wanting to watch a movie and him wanting to cuddle.
And if you would have just had a flip.
Mittens just basically spilled 42 ounces of water.
And the Kat, chain of events.
Kat just spilled beer all over my computer.
Oh, no. I'm going to go get a paper towel.
Let's just take a we'll take a break.
Oh. No, I just flipped it all up in the air.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. We had quite a chain reaction of events. Mittens jumped up on the table.
His
and
cats are evil.
Knocked over 48 ounces of water, which is a lot of water, and that cascaded over to
Cat's lap.
The cat's lap and your cat Anagnos's lap, which made her wildly swing her arms into a beer, which then started fizzing everywhere.
No, I tried to move it out of the way, and I didn't squeeze it, but it exploded.
Yeah, yep. She's got freakish strength.
Yeah, and then, got a good grip.
And then I threw my computer. I moved my computer out of the way, and then I stood up, I got the stuff, I handed paper towels to the girls, and I said, in my mind, uh-oh. And then I had to go to the restroom.
It was a Harry get the door moment.
And then, so to cover my shame, I sprayed too much Febreze, which led you to where?
So he sprayed at least three-fourths of the can of Febreze in there.
Three-fourths or three-fifths.
Right. And I had to pee, so I went in there, and all of a sudden I come out, and they're like, are you okay? You look a little...
flushed. And
she
like,
was peaked.
And yeah. I was like, I think I'm about to have a panic attack and pass out from inhaling too much Febreze.
Chemical warfare.
Like, I had to get a drink of water. I had to sit down. I was like, I think I'm about to pass out.
She had literally the vapors.
I know.
Like, I was like, oh, God.
She's still not fully, like... You know, she's a little disheveled right now. She's not got her wits
about
her.
Your hair needs fixed.
Yes, selfie time.
Right. No, I was in the bathroom. All of a sudden, I was like... And I was like, oh, God.
That's what I do in the bathroom, too. Yeah.
But yeah, it just... I almost passed out. All of her equipment almost got destroyed.
That shit was so bad, Spangle had to change his shorts.
The first thing Hannah says, did you change your shorts?
It's not what you think. I went to the restroom and all of a sudden I heard silence and they're all on the back porch. I'm like, I chased them out with my own.
I did it because I was like, he probably wants privacy if he had to skirt over there that quick. And now Kat's checking her reflection.
She is looking in the...
You guys made a comment.
Yeah.
It was pretty
Wow, bad. I do look like I'm...
You do.
Not.
You look sick.
You've lost the blood in your face.
Oh my God. Your cheeks a little.
I didn't cook those hamburgers enough, and I got attacked by the hamburgers. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna change into some basketball shorts instead of like my work shorts. And
my cargos. My formal cargos.
And Hannah immediately, never missing an opportunity to nitpick me, goes. Mm. You change your pants?
Yes.
Did you shit your pants?
Honestly, though, what else would you think? You went to the restroom for an extended period of time. You mustard gassed your house, and then you came out in gym shorts with a pattern matching your Trump cat shirt.
And the sad part,
fashion forward.
I almost passed out, not from Spangle smell, but from the smell of covering it up.
Yes.
And that's always the worst.
It's like they said about Watergate. It's not the crime, it's the cover-up.
No. They do not mix.
I should have just left my shame lingering in the air.
You smell that?
I just left calling...
That's the kale I had this morning.
I love calling shit shame.
Yeah. Have you ever smelled this much fiber in the morning?
All right, let's start... Let's talk a little bit more about the shooting. Do we want to talk more about what you covered in your article, or are we done with that?
I think people get the gist of it. It's one of those things. I think everyone's... It isn't intentional, but our whole world is designed for customization. You know, we get pissy if we can't get the exact version of whatever we want in a tailored experience in anything in our life.
Right.
You know, you get upset that you... Oh, I didn't want that one. I wanted the white iPhone 4.
Right.
You know, like, you don't want just the black one.
Right.
But, but
taking
so
a video.
That entitlement, like, that expectation has been, you know, that is, it created a world where these self-learning algorithms and, like, artificial intelligence just cocoon us completely from exposure to any other ideas.
Right.
And I think it raises an interesting question, because what happens when... you know, we're talking about the Civil War, because a couple of social scientists have published papers saying that polarization is as bad as it was pre-Civil War.
Mm.
And the thing was, though, Civil War is pretty simple. You know, obviously slavery and state sovereignty. Like, you know, do they have the right as a state to pull out?
Right.
And so that isn't the case, though, now. Now outrage is so individualized and personalized
I was making the point that, like, Lincoln would have to give a custom version of the Gettysburg Address to every single individual that he wanted to convince.
Yeah.
And that's not possible.
I mean, John Brown would just start murdering people because they hurt his feels at this point.
Right. Facebook knows and Twitter knows and Instagram knows they're only going to put you around people that already believe like you. And most of the time, they're even more passionate. And mm-hmm. so it's just like a slow boil until you work yourself into a frenzy.
Right. I'm so distracted by Kat, like, taking selfies. It's hilarious.
I'm just promoting We Are Libertarians as a show.
I'm feeling very
attacked right now. I almost died in that bathroom.
I don't think you guys appreciate
the first.
I feel lightheaded.
You would have been the first wall martyr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was unwilling. I just really had to pee.
Yeah.
Story of my life.
And then Spangle waged fecal jihad.
There was a fecal urgency that was just, it was very aggressive. Is there anything we can do? Is this just the new world?
I think it's twofold. I mean, I do think events like this end up being inflection points where people want a softening tone.
Right.
You know, I think that it was something we talked about right after the election, because a lot of people thought I was just like so pro-Trump, and it wasn't that I was pro-Trump, is that this movement has been brewing for a while.
Absolutely.
And it's still brewing. But every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So the people that are most easy, or the type of messaging that would defeat a Trump and sort of moderate and tone down society would be the more rational, the calm-minded, more statesman. People,
right.
Preaching love and toleration.
But nobody
wants. Because people will want that in time.
But they don't want Dick Lugar.
No, it has to be the right, obviously everything has to be the right messenger.
Right.
It has
Richard
to be,
Murdoch.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there can't be the disconnect between the messenger and the message.
Right.
You know, like, it wouldn't work if you threw Oprah out. It just seemed cheap, and that you want, anybody celebrity can be president.
Right.
Whatever, but it'll be someone that shocks you and you don't necessarily see coming.
Sure.
Like Barack Obama.
Exactly. High-minded, yeah. Above the fray, and just takes, like, it was a storm because it was all authentic.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, they've said Mark Zuckerberg.
He's laying the groundwork.
He is.
It'll never happen. Like,
he's too autistic.
Exactly. Like,
he's literally, I mean, and I don't mean that derogatory. I mean, you watch a video of him and
he
is
paints
very
by
awkward.
Numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's incredibly brilliant, but
at his craft.
Right. And you have to have a level of connection with the people.
A Bill Clinton that was a little bit like,
like Hillary?
Like, I feel your pain, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Someone that is more of an advocate, but then still not like sappy, falling down, bleeding heart liberal.
Right.
So you think, because Trump, technically, a lot of people consider him a media person because he had his own TV show and whatnot.
His whole book and career has been how to manipulate
book,
the media.
Career, all that kind of stuff. And so he broke through. Now, do you think we're going to see rock stars or
no? I think that
Kanye
you're
wants to
Kanye,
run.
You know what I
think
I mean?
You're going to see people enter primaries. I don't think anyone will ever be able to do what he did.
No,
he took advantage of the right place at the right time.
He was it was crazy.
Yeah.
He had he didn't win with the usual electorate. Like, he brought out new voters for the first. I mean, 30% of his voters in the primaries were first time Republican registering individuals, and 22 of those were first-time voters.
Right.
That can't be done. Like, and that's only because they were so attached personally to Trump, which is why they don't give a shit about him being a hypocrite. They're
exactly.
Trump fans first, and they trust him. And if that's what he decides, that's what they believe.
And the party's second. They don't care about the party.
The party didn't even want him.
And there's a huge part of me that really wants to believe in the good of people and believe that people like Kanye West will not actually be considered as viable options.
But, people say that exact same thing about Donald Trump.
I know.
I said it on this podcast every episode.
Yeah. So that's just
that's so terrifying.
What makes me, interested, I guess, is how far is this going to go? Like, is Donald Trump the breakthrough, or was this just a fluke?
He's the inflection point. So then it'll tip back in the opposite direction because people don't want this. What we have now is such a rabid, angry, toxic environment. It doesn't even, it's to the point where anything, the own government bureaucracy has turned on the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's treason. You know, the deep state has been the former FBI director was the leak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's stunning.
Yeah. The sitting. I mean.
That's what happened to Nixon. That's what drove him crazy. Nixon wasn't paranoid until he couldn't keep a conversation quiet.
Exactly.
But after
and then he kept trying to find it and then broke the law because it drove him insane.
I sometimes get very paranoid that we are in an irrevocable state, because even though after Nixon came Reagan, came Clinton, you had these reformers who brought back people's respect and trust in the government somewhat, and then, you know, obviously Clinton and Reagan both in their presidency did things that eroded that, but during their campaign and their election, they brought people back.
It's still politics.
Of course.
And governing is still compromise, and that'll kill you every time.
But I do worry that we're at a point now where there is some irrevocability, because it's just impossible in the internet age, once something happens, here's the best way that I think most people can relate to it. You're 16 and you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and you two go all the way when you're 16 or 17. You're never going back to hand jobs, you know. And I feel like Donald Trump is going all the way in the attack politics world, and that we're never going to be able to rein in the fringe elements of every political movement. Because say what you want, it doesn't matter that this guy was a Bernie supporter. He is somebody who is obviously psychologically disturbed. If you want to kill people, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And every movement...
For just difference of opinion. That's the thing.
Exactly,
it's not
right.
Because of any other reason that they hold an opposing view
that's,
of you.
That's where he's different in a lot of these mass shooters.
That's the breakthrough
is
that
he's now taking his psychosis into politics, and that has not been done.
No.
You know, where you know
not
the guy who
yeah,
the guy who shot Gabby Giffords was just literally crazy.
Yeah. This guy wasn't. This was a functioning member of society that dissolved his inspection company legally. He went to the government, filed
the
fee.
He had an agenda.
And here's the thing though, is where does that stop? Because there are a lot of people, especially my age, who think that was patriotism and that was okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
He did. He thought he was Paul Revere.
And exactly. So that's like, where does it stop? Like, you see, like, the American government, like, World War II, they were killing people, but they were killing Nazis. They're killing
the bad guys.
The bad guys.
Right.
So these people are convinced that Republicans in the right and anybody who don't agree with them are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So I think.
Well, they've been taught that their whole life, though.
So it's like, where does it. Is that just going to be the new norm?
Usually, like, humans. Typically, there's a point. Like, there's always some event that, like, resets you back to reality. Like, holy crap.
9/11.
I am, yeah, like 9/11, or there's a uniting event. And I think this will be like a political rhetoric uniting event.
I feel like that watching all of these congressmen and everyone yesterday, it seemed to shake them to their core.
It did.
I can imagine.
It should.
Yeah. And
that's
terrifying. There was just a
guy got shot in the hip and has had three surgeries and is in critical condition
because
he believes tax cuts are better than free
college.
Like,
he literally walked up and said, "Are you all Republicans?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said yes, and he started opening fire. Like,
right.
I mean, that's like Columbine. Like, they walked in and they said, "Are you Christians?" Yes. All right, you're dead. Like, that's the same thing, just
right.
Politics.
It's the Crusades.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
But I'm worried.
Barbarism.
I'm worried that we can never, within the internet age, rein in the extremes of every movement.
We will have to have it. Like, you know, the internet's become so prevalent because, one, it's so easy to identify with people. A lot of people are lonely, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of people are looking for social acceptance. And
right.
For most people, the digital is the community. So it's where they go to say what a bad day they're having, and then their friends surround them and give them things of support.
Hey, that's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean, it is like social capital declined, like, and that's why there's no civic engagement in bowling leagues and Shriners and Elks Club. Like,
which
people don't
sad.
Do these things, but online they do.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is when you're forced to join an organization. It's the same thing in news. The mass customization is what allows you to be radicalized, because when you join the Republican Party, there's so many different blends of Republicanism. You moderate by being exposed to it, but you want the group identity. Same thing with the Democrats. Like, the Democrats have Jim Webb, who is probably to the right of Donald Trump.
Right.
And then they would have someone like a Maxine Waters, who is a former violent revolutionary Marxist.
Right.
And being in a big group like that forces conformity and moderation on you in a way that digital experience doesn't, because you can micro-target and just find people and discover people easier who reaffirm the most radical parts of your views, and you're never forced to force toleration, if you will.
We have it in the libertarian movement. I mean, and I wouldn't say anarcho-capitalist, but definitely there is a vein of the black and yellows that
The revolutionary libertarians.
Right, that feel that this was an acceptable act.
It's justified because they're gangsters.
And they're killing people every day, cutting off health care.
And that is true, though, for Congress, too, because Congress goes and authorizes drone strikes and authorizes funding for these things because it's easy to think that isn't a kid that died. It's the people that, if that kid had grown up, it's an abstraction. You know, they're not thinking about putting a human face on it.
Right.
Which is with a killer. I mean, that's what the internet does. It puts a layer between human interaction that makes harshness easier.
So it was Flag Day yesterday when this took place, and
I didn't even know that. Was it really?
It was Flag Day.
That's usually a huge libertarian day.
My boss asked us on a conference call what we were doing for Flag Day. I was like,
have you watched the news?
Burning one. hey, why not?
Yeah.
It's a piece of cloth, but. So I was convinced that this had to be one of ours. You know,
you were. Jeremiah was too, and I thought I was like, not so fast, my friend.
But it didn't really add up that this was a right wing wacko in that
attacking the moderates,
Republicans.
No. You rhinos have driven me over the edge,
right? But to somebody who is an anarchist, they don't care. They're violating. They're using violence to. I mean, but. Let's say it had been somebody who affiliated with the libertarian movement in some way, shape, or form.
Like Timothy McVeigh,
who was
a party member.
When you become a party member of the Libertarian Party, you sign a pledge. It's called the Non-Aggression Principle, which says that you do not advocate the use of violence to achieve political or social goals. So that the ends don't justify the means, or the means don't justify the ends, or whichever that you know what I mean. You just can't do whatever. It's libertarians, true libertarians, believe that using violence is wrong,
mm-hmm.
and we are nonviolent.
Democratic
non-violent people.
Majority, you know, it doesn't give you that. There is no moral right gained because the majority want it.
Exactly, and so. Violent figure like a Malcolm X to arm Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
who was nonviolent. And so somebody who would take a gun just because they may have been at libertarian movement meetings of some shape or form or variety, they would not be a libertarian. They can say they're a libertarian or that they're a righty, but they're not. Because
yeah, it's bad. It's bad brand association, but that wasn't the cause of it.
Right. You,
one bad Skittle.
The non-aggression principle was started in the early 70s because
Underground.
They were being targeted by the FBI and being investigated as a party, and so they instituted the non-aggression principle pledge, the Libertarian Pledge,
to satisfy J. Edgar Hoover and further investigation and infiltration.
So, but it is something that is at the very core of the libertarian philosophy, and I just want to say that. Had this been somebody that was a libertarian member, I want everybody to understand that anybody that advocates for violence in any way, shape, or form, I don't care if it's followed up with, well, have they not committed violence upon us by aggressing against us because they are the state? No, you don't use violence as a tool for political or social goals. That makes you unlibertarian. You don't take up arms to achieve political or social goals. So,
the oppression can't be third-party outsourced like it is
right.
in government. It has
exactly.
to be direct one-to-one.
Exactly right. And this government is so massive and sprawling that killing a congressman who's third in line in the House doesn't do anything. It's a persuasion deal, guys. You got to go out and win hearts.
It's counterproductive.
And minds.
I mean, it reinforces, you know, it's like when a police officer dies, the parade comes out, you know,
yep.
Blue Lives Matter. Everyone loves the police all of a sudden.
Right.
Yep.
It's totally counterproductive. But the response to this, I can't help but think how different it had been and the crackdown that we would have seen on right groups.
Yeah.
And how much blame. Nobody blames Bernie Sanders at all whatsoever.
No, and he doesn't deserve
any.
I saw Donald Trump getting blamed yesterday. I mean,
he's the one inciting the rhetoric.
Of course.
You know, that's in like several prominent liberal commentators for MSNBC and then Vox and Mother Jones and Daily Kos were saying, isn't it I can't help but appreciate the irony of people who oppose gun control being taken out with guns. And this is within the hour.
Well, and
Let's all sit back and blow that to smithereens, and then we'll get to Kat. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
Like to raise the gun control issue, we'll get to guns in just a second. let's go to Kat. I mean, because I don't think it's it's bizarre to blame other people for the actions of one individual.
Yep. Well, and that point right there is so hypocritical because isn't the left the ones who are really pushing the not all Muslims are terrorists thing? Mm-hmm. And just because somebody claims ISIS doesn't mean they're Muslim, so we shouldn't view Muslims that way. So why are they viewing us
all the same?
Because
it's politically convenient and they can phone
exactly.
on it.
Right. So I just think that's extremely hypocritical.
Oh, it always
Somebody
is.
Made a comment, talking about, well, guns need to be taken away, blah, blah, blah. But my thing is, I mean, if you look at...
Thank God, because the criminals won't have them then.
Well, look at Europe. Like they've literally killed people by driving through crowds with guns, knives, blowing things up. They haven't been using guns in Europe and they're still killing lots of people. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
If someone wants to kill you and
they're
going to
do it.
Right. Exactly. There is nothing you can do to stop someone from killing you if they really want to.
Unless you have better force than they do.
And you know, we are outsourcing the protection of these congressmen to Capitol Police officers. So what you're doing, instead of saying, let's encourage you to protect yourself with your own firearm from martinarmory.com, you are outsourcing to a Capitol Police officer who then has to sacrifice their life for yours.
And luckily they didn't have to.
And then on top of that, we as taxpayers have to pay for all that. Like, the irony, it's not even irony. It's just flat-out stupidity to sit there and look at this situation and go, guns caused this. No, guns stopped this. Because Rand Paul was right. Had there not been two Capitol Police officers there with weapons, combating somebody with weapons, then...
It would have been like the Iranian parliament where a suicide bomber went in and killed 12.
Yeah, it would have been a massacre.
I mean, even with that, though, like if you're playing baseball, what are the chances you're going to have your gun strapped on you? There's not that. So I think it doesn't matter. Like if the police hadn't been there, it would have been a lot worse than
Well, and I think it's interesting, though, is like I said, I feel like I know the response to all of these discussions just from things I've seen from people my own age. But their thing is, yes, guns saved the situation and made it. It stopped it from being way worse, but guns caused it in the first place.
But I'm sorry, we can no longer tolerate the stupidity of the young and the stupidity of the left. The fact is that guns are never going to not be around. You cannot in a country with as
they're banned in Chicago, Illinois, and that place is a war zone.
War
zone.
Yeah.
This guy, it is illegal. When we had the Libertarian Convention in Missouri in St. Louis. We had to tell all of the members of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, do not drive across state lines with your guns. You will go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy bought two weapons in Illinois.
He is very hard to do.
Child for why gun control doesn't work. It's maddening.
If it did, then we wouldn't have any of the problems we do. If banning things worked, we wouldn't have mass drug use. We wouldn't have the Kennedys, because that's how they got rich. Prohibition.
It's just such a kindergarten logic to say that if we just get rid of guns, that's not how policy works.
No, it's an easy thing to take.
It's not guns. Like, I think it's the violence that's been accepted in culture. Like, you look at all of the... you look at the movies that are like, there's so much violence everywhere. Like, it permeates everything. The news is full of violence. Movies are full of violence.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Game shows are full. Like, everything is full of violence. Like, you're literally just surrounded. Facebook is full of violence. Like,
again,
Facebook, somebody killed somebody live on Facebook Live. Like, violence is everywhere and it's so, like, saturated into our culture. It's almost normal. Like, it's normal to wake up and hear a news story about 5 people being killed somewhere in the world because of violence. Like, it's just normal and it's just becoming more and more the norm.
And
is that okay?
Yeah, and from some of my news classes at Ball State is we're taught the structure of reporting news, and it's you report the worst thing first.
Yeah.
And maybe because it's breaking or what it needs to be said first.
Well, we're so desensitized to shock value.
It brings people in.
It's competition or like a race to the top.
I mean, you turn on, there's a reason, like small town USA, the front news story is, kitten rescued from a tree. Whereas, But it's like,
it's terrible.
Yeah, horrible stuff.
Well, nobody cares about it. Everyone loves to talk about, wasn't that sweet? But then when somebody sees a massive wreck on 465, they're all looking.
Exactly.
Right. There's an instinct to rubberneck and look at shocking things.
It's the human condition. We're fascinated by...
And it's
train
out of care. It's unnormal. It's not normal.
Right.
That's the real thing, is that we're always going to look at
what is not usual.
It's a rash.
It's becoming normal.
Well, but it's,
you just have to keep upping the ante.
I think that it's become, the images are becoming more normal. But the truth is that if you go back and you really study history, we live at a time where we are shielded from death more than any other period in
our
history.
Our wars have theme music.
We are not like we would have 100 years ago holding funerals in our front room where our ancestors, our grandparents would be laying there for days. We're not carrying the dead bodies of our parents out to a cart.
We won't even show them on the news if they come back from Iraq.
Exactly right.
You know?
So we are shielded from death and violence more than we ever are. And I would advocate for more real violence as opposed to fake violence. And I think that human beings are, in trading that off, we are really losing humanity and empathy and understanding the consequences of our decisions by not choosing to see the real cost of war. You watch something. That's why I think you have something like Vice on HBO that takes off, is because they're willing to go and show you what is actually happening in the world and not shield you from the truth.
Right. And I mean, that's completely true. And if you think about it, I mean, I guess it's, I'm every bit as guilty of it, because like I don't look at things that aren't wild and outrageous, and it's continual right. pushing of the envelope to get me to even care,
right?
Yeah. You know, and like that's just. But I mean, I don't think that that's some you. I'm to blame for it. I don't think you're to blame for it. I think it's part of the human experience.
Yep.
But if you've ever seen the movie Goodwill, you ever seen Goodwill Hunting?
I haven't.
Have you heard of Robin Williams, Kat? I know he's.
Robin Williams is such a good yes. movie.
It is.
You
it,
do
it,
know who
I feel
Robin
like I've
Williams
seen that movie.
Is.
And there's
of course I do.
Okay. You've seen it.
It's a good
I think
movie.
I have.
You think so? Okay, yeah. It's like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, like they wrote it and it's what made them stars.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
So in that, he plays a psychologist and an MIT professor wants him to work with Matt Damon. He's a mathematics savant, but he needs therapy to kind of get over some issues. And so he's also a genius. So he is talking to the psychologist and trying to, show that he's not smarter than him and he can even get in his head. And he, Robin Williams says that, I thought about what you said to me, and I thought it made me lose sleep all night. And then I realized that you're the kind of person that could tell me every fact about what the Sistine Chapel, the history around it, every date and everything, but you can't tell me what it meant. You can't tell me how it smells, how it feels. And that's sort of like where we are as a society, is we don't experience things, but we can tell you all about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It never hits you or never hits home. Because
until
there's no impact.
To you.
Yeah, the human impact doesn't exist, but it's an abstraction. You can, like Tucker Carlson all night last night was talking about, describe to me what it was like. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, it was almost so shocking to him, he couldn't even conceive of what that type of environment was like.
Yeah.
When the reality is, that's every street on the east side of Indianapolis after 11 p.m.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
That's a reality.
We have an entire generation of black Americans who are growing up like that.
Exactly. And that's East Chicago is a war zone. U.S. Yep. 41 heading to Chicago, where they actually have like riot gear out in, Joliet, Illinois.
And then we wonder why Ferguson happens.
Right. But people don't go there. Right. The people won't go. Like, we talk about Gary like we know it.
Right.
None of us have ever been on Gary at 11 o'clock on a Friday night.
Never.
God, no.
No way. And I think that's why, I listened to coverage all day yesterday of this. And, so many of the congressmen were open about what they saw and what they were talking about it and describing it and all that. But it wasn't until I was listening to POTUS Politics, which if you don't have SiriusXM, it's worth the internet subscription just for POTUS Politics. If you love the show, you'll love that channel. And they played the entire Joe Barton talking about his sons and
the human elements of it.
And I'm getting goosebumps now because of it, because that was the moment when that rush of empathy, that warm feeling in the middle of me went, oh, these are people.
Boom.
And I had listened to the facts all day long, but it hadn't hit me that here's a young boy that is traumatized by seeing his friends get shot. Why do I not consider these? We consider Rand Paul a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We love Rand Paul as libertarians, but,
it doesn't realize that he was sitting there swinging a bat with an aide, and there was a real-life gun shoot, like OK Corral shootout.
Right.
It does, it doesn't impact you no matter what you say, because you can't feel it. But I can tell you that at 7:19, Alexandria police responded to a call.
Right.
But I have no idea what it feels like to be scared.
Of
by
course.
This.
Right.
And that's what we just don't experience things in person anymore.
I read the eyewitness or the account of a guy who got shot and lived at the Pulse nightclub shooting. And it was the one of the worst things I've ever read, because just the way he described it, like how he heard the 2 hours that he was there, like he got shot in the back and shielded himself under a couch and asked the police for help, and they couldn't help him because they couldn't come in yet, and he heard all the dead people's cell phones ringing, and it was just like
all of it really hit him.
You don't know what that
we have
feels
no
like.
Yeah, we have no concept of it. And like, that's the thing too, is like people that are very anti-Muslim, like 2 years ago there was a Yemeni wedding and we authorized a drone strike while they were getting married, and
so
you think Pulse nightclub, they go in with like a, you know, an ISIS, a pledged ISIS member goes and shoots a bunch of homosexuals. Horrible. Imagine being there at your wedding last March. We're sitting there at, you know, Scottish Rite, mm-hmm. and in comes a drone strike and we're all dead. Like, exactly. You can't conceive it.
Yeah,
and
there's
nobody
a movie that has
cares.
That. What movie is it? There's one of the action movies has that. Might be like London Has Fallen or something.
Yeah.
Oh, is White House Down?
Maybe White House Down,
like
yeah.
There was something.
Like
you just can't conceive of that thing in our world. We're so cocooned from it.
There was a video that I posted in the We Are Libertarians group, but I'm sure you can find it in on YouTube. And I didn't realize. I mean, YouTube, it's like Wikipedia. You go down one of these rabbit holes and you get stuck forever.
Next thing you know, you're listening to Alex Jones and Googling Doppler technology.
Yeah. Right.
And then Megyn Kelly asked if you want to come on our show.
So I found actual rebels doing the rebel yell, people who are on videotape, who had fought in the Civil War, which led me to an eyewitness on a 50s TV show talking about the Lincoln assassination how
Fort
he
Theater.
Was a boy, which led me to a wonderful voice recording of Joseph Hazelton, who was an errand boy at Ford's Theater who knew John Wilkes Booth. And the video is titled Eyewitness to Lincoln's Assassination, Tells of Booth's Escape. And it is this amazing recording of this guy telling the story of what the scene was like in Ford's Theater as Lincoln was assassinated. I've read that story 100 times in my lifetime. We've heard it in history class.
Seen the memorial.
Yep.
Been to Ford's Theater.
It wasn't until this man told the eyewitness account of what it was like in that theater that I felt what the trauma of Lincoln's assassination was for the nation. I mean, it was a really powerful and gripping piece of audio that you should go and check out on YouTube.
Oh, I mean, it's incredible, because the Lincoln Trail, or the train trail that he, like, they brought his body across and he stayed the night at the State House here in Indianapolis, and it goes right through Irvington, kind of north of US 40. And they, you know, just account after account, they're going through rural parts of the country and people are just out on their knees, like sobbing. And can you imagine if President Trump got shot? There'd be Facebook statuses celebrating.
It would be 9/11 in Palestine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It'd be cheers of, you know, vindication and, you know, God is great. But that's the difference, you know. It's just because we've become so, not removed, just we've become desensitized for sure. But then also we don't experience anything ever, because even when we're at, like, even you go on vacation, or even when you like are going and doing something, right? You can't wait to take a selfie because you document the whole thing, but you never paid attention.
The best vacation I ever took was when we went on a Caribbean cruise and did not buy the internet package. It was the best week of my life, and I almost did not turn my phone back on.
Right, and you don't even care that you don't have pictures.
I mean,
you have pictures.
We have
you didn't
some
care
pictures.
That you didn't have likes.
Oh yeah, I didn't care. I didn't have likes. I didn't care that my friends had no idea what I was doing, or my mom didn't know. Like, I just didn't care. It was great. It was freeing. You just feel so like.
In the moment.
I felt very zen.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, and then it's not like, you know, not having the, you can't check the phone. You can't check the likes.
Yeah,
like, we need to do another selfie in front of this, you know, this cliff because the last one, the lighting was shit and I don't want it as my cover photo.
Well, that may have happened.
All right.
But we can still,
well, you're
use
still
our
petty.
Cameras.
Yeah, no,
not
you could.
It's, no,
but I mean, you couldn't, like, in, while you're standing there trying to go see the whales. Oh, we've only got 13 likes. What the fuck?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I actually never do that, but.
You delete cool? Photos that don't get enough likes, Kat?
No.
Can you post at better times?
No.
Is that a fidget spinner?
No.
It's
no.
It's a fidget putty.
It's a fidget putty, basically. Yep. The two of us are so ADD, we can't. Yeah. We have to play with our hands.
Otherwise, so. I won't remember anything we talked about today.
Yep. Because she will be nervous.
They actually say, though, as long. A lot of people that way, if it's indirect what you're listening to or processing information because you're busy doing that, you retain more.
Yep, that's how I am.
Well, and it's just, tangent, but it just annoys me how everyone is like, I'm so ADD, look at my fidget spinner. Like, yeah. You don't have ADHD, you just want to have the new cool toy, and it actually makes you even worse.
It's the nerd glasses for girls with no lenses.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Well, I'm such a dork.
That's why I like
and then
Spangle.
Take a picture of the book.
Right. And Spangle at the day job, he's got a fidget cube, and I love that thing because it's just in your hand and you're just.
It's like
listening.
Worry balls that have been around for like, you know, centuries. Like, right. Like Buddhist worry balls that they, you know, it helps them get calm and like get still.
I kind of want to be a Buddhist.
So it looks like yeah. I'm having like a play
How brave.
Over here, but.
So go read Siddhartha.
You know, and this is a tangent, or not tangent, but like, and it's not scientific at all, but I kind of feel like the prevalence of autism is a result of the flood of information because autistic kids cannot, it's just too much. It's overwhelming. And I feel like they intensely process information in a way that is almost a step forward in human evolution.
Our people.
Well, I mean, it's like, what are we flooded with? Information. That's what overwhelms us, causes us anxiety. We have to learn how to manage and adjust to. For them, the sheer amount of information they're processing is way more than a regular individual. And I think that could be very likely be a biological response to the amount of the flood of information. Because like our eyes take in 2 billion of the 20 billion bits of information every second it takes in.
Yeah.
And they take in more and are more sensitive to the severity of it. They're not able to tune it out.
Yeah. All right.
Like a podcast about libertarianism.
Never ends.
Right.
All right. So earlier this week, we had James Comey testify in front of the House Senate Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence
Senate
Committee.
Senate Intelligence.
Yeah, not the House
which
Senate.
Which is an oxymoron if I've ever heard one.
Right. And we reviewed the written statement and a lot of our opinion of Comey and the entire situation you heard last week. So we won't be bore you with the same details that we posted in that last episode. My impressions of Jim Comey are that I believed a lot of what he said. I believed that he gave a lot of information that seemed very credible. He seems like a very credible man. He's pissing off all sides of all parties. But I did not get the sense from his testimony that he did anything that was rising to the level of obstruction of justice.
No. I mean, that's the way I feel as well.
Inappropriate, yes, but illegal, no.
And I'm sure you have a much stricter standard of it than I do.
Of course, especially with Donald Trump.
Right. You know, and that's the thing is like, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good gauge because yeah. You are no fan whatsoever and
no.
You're more libertarian, you know, you take a more libertarian like approach toward it. If you don't feel like it, I think it's a real hard case to make.
I'm a proponent when it comes to these sorts of issues of the truth and what I feel the truth is. And I don't feel like Donald Trump. I think there's a reason that Jim Comey walked away with the impression that he wanted that all of this to end.
He did.
Of course he does. But he could have just ordered him to end it. You know, there were a lot of testimonies that really the Republicans, I felt, did a good job of kind of fighting back the notion of obstruction of justice, like Marco Rubio, like Tom Cotton.
James Tisch, when he was saying, has anyone ever been prosecuted and indicted or impeached based on hope?
Rich.
You know, Rich.
Yeah.
T-I-S-C-H.
I thought it was R-I-C-S-C-H.
Or yeah. From Idaho.
Yeah.
Senator Rich. And so he eliminated it completely. And with getting Comey to eliminate it, the news didn't cover that line of questioning.
Yeah.
And here's an Idaho senator of no importance, and he eviscerates the entire argument.
Right.
Hope and change doesn't result in an obstruction charge.
Exactly. But I do think that there is definitely Donald Trump definitely wants this to disappear. And I definitely got the impression from the written testimony, as I talked about last week, that he wanted the main thrust was that he wanted it released that he was not being investigated. And that was more of the main. But I got the impression from the spoken testimony that he really wanted all of it to go away.
Well, you can't. It never ends.
Right.
This is a never-ending cloud of leaks and anonymous sources
of
and
course.
Close White House officials who aren't willing to go on the record.
Yeah.
Like today, the new thing is that they've hired a money laundering expert into General Flynn and then a cybersecurity expert attorney to be able to validate that potentially anonymous transactions into accounts were General Flynn and the Russian government.
Interesting. I walked away much more convinced that there is a Russian plot so to speak. Oh. But I don't think that it convinced me. First of all, the Russians can't hack the American election.
No.
Okay, they can't do it. They cannot break into voting machines, and they cannot change votes.
That's what they want you to think.
They got in, but they changed. They can only change like the first four characters of the address in the voter rolls
exactly.
in those eight states.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean, it was if you lived on Main Street, they could change it to JTE in Street.
But I mean, if you watch the Megyn Kelly Vladimir Putin, far be it from me to take Vladimir Putin's side. This was one of the first programs to say, this guy's going to be an awful problem for us down the road.
I
think it was around episode 87. The Russians are trying to interfere in our elections.
Just like we do in theirs.
And Putin put the point is that who are you people to sit here and tell the rest of the world that we are not to interfere in your elections when all you do is try and topple ours and control our elections. And I found Putin's interview with Megyn Kelly, he made many, many good points that a lot of non-interventionists would agree with, in that, you're looking at our splinter while not looking at your plank
right.
in your eye.
You don't realize that this is all in retaliation as the best offense
right.
or the best defense is a good offense. And so that's what they do is they try to intervene. We try to intervene. We know that like Nelson Rockefeller, the whole reason that 4-H exists was to train young, poor, rural people in South America to not fall for Marxism with Che and Fidel Castro. They gave them land grants. They propped up conservative dictators, parceled land out, gave it to them, brought them here, trained them at like Texas A&M, New Mexico State, then sent them back so that they could operate and run their own property and not fall low lure to the man's keeping us down.
Right.
You know, we did in Paraguay, Venezuela. The whole reason is because his oil fields were nationalized in Venezuela, and that's
right.
where he came up with the idea.
So wait, real quick question. Why does the U.S. get involved in Russian elections? Just because we can? Or they
it's our intelligence agencies. So like the CIA hacker base, it came out in two WikiLeaks ago. We trained them to use the exact digital footprint Russian hackers use. So our CIA intrusions it's indistinguishable between a Russian hack and a CIA hack.
Okay.
But nice. The reason we do is because Vladimir Putin is rising in power, and this is a time when nationalism's rising as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, everyone thought the extreme reactionary neo-Nazi, white pride was dead.
Right.
It wasn't dead. Mm-hmm. Because eventually multiculturalism had a blowback. People were tired of being told that the white man's to blame.
Mm-hmm.
They were tired of being told that diversity is the be-all, end-all.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a society, there was this organic response that's happening now, and he is the perfect one to lead it because Russians are the most nationalistic people on earth.
Right.
Mother Russia can do no wrong. And he's a real threat because oil was so high.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's only one way to heat your home in Europe. There's only one supplier. It's the pipeline that runs through Turkey
mm-hmm.
that is the Russian. He can shut off the heat in Europe in the winter anytime he wants. And we also put nuclear weapons in Poland
yep.
throughout Eastern Europe and pointed them directly at the Russians and wondered why they wanted to put them in Cuba.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, we have nuclear weapons pointed at them that can hit them at any second. And so he can either succumb to it. And that's what had happened. Like Russia had fallen. The Soviet Union fell apart.
Right.
They tried a social experiment that didn't work. He, brilliant guy. So he's an economist. By training, he put together his dissertation about how to create these champions of statehood. And so mm-hmm. what it was key industries when Russia was leaving socialism, he put up all like the oil industry, the mm-hmm. finance, banking, all these things up for bid to the private sector.
Right.
But handpicked who got to bid on them, picked all his friends.
Right.
That way he made them all rich. He was in charge. He was because oil was so high, he was able to raise the value of the Russian currency to the point where he implemented a basic income. So it's not like here where you go to the welfare office.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you make or if you don't make anything and you get a check.
Mm-hmm.
Universal basic income. I mean, it's only a 13% income tax flat and the standard of living is through the roof. Like he's been a hero to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
why he keeps winning. The only people that are anti that are there's like a youth resistance movement because they weren't born when he won in 1999 with George W. Bush.
And how bad it was.
Right. And they've got rampant drug problems, and so he's cracked down on cultural things, to keep Mother Russia strong.
And so the gay community, you know, the countercultural movement has resisted everything he's done because it looks like old-fashioned backwoods ideas.
He goes,
but it's about
lays,
cultural preservation.
Yeah, he goes and lays a wreath at Stalin's grave every year on his birthday. I mean, it's, yeah, he...
Even though he killed...
And Russians love dictators. Yeah. They don't care so much for democracy.
Yeah.
Like, they have fistfights on the floor of their Senate, the Duma.
The real reason
kind of
that,
awesome.
Yeah, the real reason
they hit each other if you call them, like, a liar. They, like, literally slug it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
The real reason that Donald Trump scares so many Americans is that he is the first...
Authoritarian
type political figure to rise to the level that he's at. And that
Andrew
he,
Jackson, but that wasn't in our lifetime.
Sure. Right. But, well, like, you know, where... Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump are very similar in the way that they lead, and they will bullshit to maintain power. You know, we are okay with our – as a society, it seems that – well, not we libertarians, but we as a society seem to accept a certain amount of lying and bullshit because we feel it's on our behalf. Enough corruption – we'll let you get away with some lying and corruption because we know you have our best interest.
And that would require me paying attention, and I kind of like how things are going.
Right. But Donald Trump, I feel, makes everybody freak out because Donald Trump is the first one where he's bullshitting for his own good and not the collective good. You know, even
his people's good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is very much a racial thing.
Right.
This is about white European ideals of, you know, freedom and democracy. We know best. Your ideas of, like, cultural Marxism, where eliminating genders, multiculturalism, being inclusive, not all, you know, the people that blow up buildings are bad. These were all ideas in Columbia University in the 1960s and 70s and came over from Frankfurt University.
Right.
Like, they brought a bunch of intellectuals in, and this is where all the revolution, like, Tom Sowell studied under these individuals in Harlem. And the idea was we're going to eliminate genders. We're going to eliminate the social structure. They even proposed taking babies away from women so there isn't family loyalty, which is something they do in North Korea.
It's literally in The Giver, the book.
Right, and they try to undermine every societal institution to the point the state's all that's left.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, Marxism was forced on people. They decided we're going to do it reverse. We're going to undermine and do it bottom up.
Yeah.
And so people got tired of it. They got tired of being told the white person's keeping you down or you're to blame, you're the reason for your, you know... If you white cis males weren't so stupid.
Even Thaddeus Russell, who is a libertarian historian, somebody that I like a lot, was on Rogan basically in a roundabout way saying that gender is just a false construct of society. I mean, I can buy his argument that race is a false construct of society.
There's only one race.
Because we're just human beings, and some of us just have more melanin than others. But the idea where it was like biologically they have
there
boobs.
Are actual differences.
It's
like
it is at the atomic level. It is DNA structure. You can't identify away a Y chromosome.
Right.
You know,
no.
Like, there's no removing that with surgery.
No, like they're just
you can chop
just
a dick
things.
Off of me, but you can't take a Y chromosome out.
Yeah.
So Greg, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So I need a little more autism. So these
fully
people,
woke.
Fully woke. No, but so just for whatever. Okay, so the people I go to school with who are like the ones throwing parties that the Congress people got shot at and mm-hmm. all of this stuff, and they're
for charity though. So don't
for
judge
charity,
us.
Right? Right. And they're, you know, hardcore socialist. What is it? Marxists?
Yeah, they're usually you're a Marxist, but they'll consider themselves basically just a leftist and anti-fascist.
Okay,
a Marxist, socialist, or a welfare liberal.
Okay,
a progressive.
And they see, and all they do is post about how much they hate, you know, Republicans and Democrats, and they hate it so much, and how police officers and politicians are just as bad as, like, Hitler's, and the
right.
army is just, like, they go to the career
immediate
fair.
Immediate extreme.
Right, and they go to the career fair at Ball State, and they hand out, like, right by the army, like, the
Students
ROTC
Students for a Democratic
stuff.
Society.
Right, but right by the ROTC table, they hand out pamphlets saying, like, do you want to become a killer? Like,
yeah.
Right, so why are they... Like, if it doesn't work, if the people of the Soviet Union, right, got tired of it?
But it's that no one, the right people haven't. It's so,
right.
Like,
so
it's
why
about
are they
perfecting society. So, like, the idea is that they're these social planners who know best, elites.
Okay.
And this goes, like, all the way back to Plato's Republic, and that we will breed this class of elites who are the governing class. They'll know best for you stupid people. They'll make the decisions. We'll get rid of poverty. We'll get rid of war. All these, it's with originally good intentions.
Right.
If you just give us the amount of control we need in order to do it, we'll get the right people there.
Right.
The problem is, there aren't any mythical bureaucrats. I mean, have you ever met anyone? You're like, God, I'd just willingly give over everything because they know best.
No.
It's a false idea. What ends up happening?
I mean, yes.
Outside the realm of libertarianism.
Dear leader.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, so like that's the thing with Bernie. Bernie rails against corruption and wants justice. He wants a fair playing field for everybody. All good, well-intended things. The point is, the government's the institution that allows for the corruption. That's the actual structure that allows for things to become corrupt, because people, when given the opportunity to exploit something for personal gain, are going to, regardless of how pure they are. Not everybody's Jesus Christ. You know, they have a career. They need to provide for a family, so they're going to take beyond the take. So these people have the right intentions. They just trying to solve the problems government creates with more government. It's like trying to fix cancer with more cancer.
And do you think
Tom Woods had on? There's a guy, a podcaster that I really love. This podcast, it's called The Eastern Border, and the podcast on Tom Woods was called A Gallop Through Soviet History. And they were breaking down some of the arguments, and inevitably you always, and you get into an argument with one of these people, it's, well, communism in the Soviet Union wasn't actual communism. It was imperfect. It was corrupted.
But if it had been Bernie, it would have been, Trotsky had been the one that won.
Exactly right. There's always a caveat, and it always is going to come down with these people to, really, if I were in charge, like, it's a very selfish thing.
Oh, it's complete central planning. Yeah. I know best for everybody. And that's, right. It's funny, like, all of Western civilization comes down to that. I mean, the battle of Plato and Aristotle, Plato's best student. Aristotle said, you're right, in your republic, if centralized control in the theoretical realm, that could be the perfect society. Mm-hmm. That's why Aristotle said, I can only experience what my life is. And that's why you have to decentralize everything and give power to the people rather than some elite governing. Not that you'll have a better outcome, but that because it's the safer bet against tyranny.
Right.
And that's been the argument of all of Western civilization since.
Mm-hmm. So do you think these people, because like I said, it's just in an alarming rate, they're joining this movement. Do you think they'll change? 10, 15 years,
they'll moderate. Go on their and Facebook. Like, I have, you know, they'll definitely, as they have to actually earn money and they can't just go around, you know, like, because Bernie Sanders really is like, this guy was like a gypsy drifter, got a job in government, got elected mayor.
At 40, he was a nobody.
He was nothing, a loser.
He was a total loser.
Basement
40.
Dwelling mouth breather.
I kind of love Bernie Sanders, not gonna lie.
I mean, no, his appeal is right. All of his intentions are good. The problem is he's trying to fix cancer with more cancer.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But then, and also, we live in a democracy. There's transition, regime change. If it were constant and he were the one white knight willing to watch over everything, maybe, you know what, maybe he would do it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he has to rely on such a big bureaucracy with people he doesn't know who don't have a vested interest in him staying in office that they're going to go after and take care of me.
But I still kind of love him.
Even somebody
his intentions are pure. He's an honest Democrat.
I love that about him. He's great.
So you have Lenin. Lenin takes over. And then you have a war between Trotsky and Stalin. And Stalin was not as charismatic of a speaker. He was in charge of the secret police. You had Trotsky, who was in charge of the Red Army. He was the
philosophical leader.
Backbone. He was this charismatic speaker.
I mean, people to this day still say that they're Trotskyist, right. Or like, you know, Trotskyism rather than Marxism, because he expounded upon it.
Right. So, but then the problem is you've got crafty people like Stalin who make themselves the secretary general of the party, and he runs the machinery of the party.
He's the operator.
He starts putting people into the party, into the controlling of the Soviet Union that are loyal to him. He gives them the jobs. He's the bureaucratic guy that makes sure that everybody goes in certain places. And Trotsky is so busy being esoteric and being the thought
leader, Ivory Tower,
that he doesn't realize that he's not getting invited to meetings, that his people aren't getting invited to meetings, until finally Lenin dies and he is not told about when and where services are and he's not there. And then all of a sudden, Stalin is anointed the leader of the Soviet Union.
And then he hires sends the KGB to Mexico City and puts a axe in Trotsky's head.
Right. I mean, and so you... The a lot of what your college age friends believe are just fairy tales. They're things that are not based in the real human existence. They're not based in how the human animal works.
Idealism can only be moderated with experience.
Exactly right. And so it's just going to take time. I'm not worried about these kids. They'll figure it out.
But like when they say things like healthcare is a right, they're saying that they would, that because of that, they would walk to a doctor's home, put a gun to his head, and say, go fix them for free.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the implication. And so that's ridiculous, because then they're going to be like, well, no, but I don't, I'm pacifist. Mm-hmm. Right. Kumbaya, let's hand out flowers.
Right. But you want somebody else with a gun to do it for
right.
you.
Right. It's easier when it's right. not you.
Yeah. It's less feels that way. So let's circle back to the Comey testimony. So Comey testified. What were your impressions, Greg?
Oh, I think he's Alan Dulles.
Okay.
I think it was perfectly scripted in order to create the exact sound bites the media needed to continue selling. I very much think that the deep state it's Nixon all over again.
Alan Dulles was the former
fired
head of the CIA.
JFK.
Fired by JFK, and then all of a sudden JFK dies.
Yeah, and the Dulles brothers used, I don't think they're going to kill anybody, but I do think that they are going to continue these leaks, and it's coordination with the press, because the press respects the people in the intelligence community. They've spent years developing these trustworthy relationships with the sources. They're just going to keep anything they feed them.
Yep.
Even though you have a Senate testimony, which is basically just theatrics, mm-hmm. saying specifically, did he obstruct, based upon your experience as an FBI director, can you think of a single case where someone was charged and convicted of obstruction of justice based on hope?
Yeah, I as somebody who is fair-minded and doesn't have a dog in the fight whatsoever, I watched the complete testimony, and I felt that it didn't rise. If the level is reasonable doubt, I felt there was some reasonable doubt that there. I mean, I just wouldn't convict Donald Trump of obstruction of justice.
I don't know
based
that
on
you
that
can
testimony
take.
Alone.
I really hope you can see your way to letting this go. I don't know what governing body gets to decide what that was meant,
right?
And put someone and impeach someone based upon that.
Well, it depends on what your definition of is. But we all,
is a racist term, and I won't allow you to use it.
We all know that none of this has anything to do with the truth or justice. It has everything to do with politics.
Yeah, it's art and theater.
Speaking of theater, I watched a lot of the Jeff Sessions testimony. I never really had seen much out of Sessions, and he's a slow, good old boy. Kamala Harris was like, stop rushing me. You're rushing me. I don't like to be rushed. I get nervous.
People forget he was a Democrat.
Yeah.
He was one of the flipping Democrat that flipped with the Reagan Revolution.
Right. And
like Rick Perry.
Kamala Harris is being, it's just sexism that people are criticizing. No.
Oh, everyone said, look at how they talk to her.
Right.
Is she the new face of the Democratic Party?
Meanwhile, she was incredibly disrespectful according to Senate rules, and that's why she was told to.
It's like Elizabeth Choctaw Warren and all of the Democrats exempt themselves from the norms and procedures, and then there's outrage that they weren't treated right.
Jeff Sessions, his memory is worse than the potheads he's trying to crack down on. I mean, it's all very strategic, and he's just doing it to, I can't recall, so he can't get pinned on anything. I felt he was very slippery.
You have the right to not incriminate yourself.
Of course. But I also enjoyed him yelling at Ron Wyden, and when he got mad, his cute little face just got all red, and he was like, stop it, stop it. But Ron Wyden, somebody that on civil liberties issues is great, but
Ron Wyden is very, he is good on civil liberties, but he very much has higher aspirations, and so because of that, he's starting to toe the line a little bit more.
Ron Wyden could never be president if he wanted to
be. No, but he wants to be like labor secretary or head of NSA or something like that in a Democratic administration.
Got it.
Basically be what Dan Coats is.
Yeah, the deep state would assassinate him before they'd ever let him be.
Correct.
Ron Wyden's great on NSA and deep state stuff. But Jeff Sessions I felt was very slippery. I didn't feel like I felt like he was just trying to clear his name, but it didn't seem to make sense why he was really there.
Oh, no, he sent Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, out before to answer all the questions on Russia.
Right.
And he's the one who appointed Robert Mueller, and he's running the special investigation. And Rosenstein is a Democrat. He has connections to the Clinton administration, but he's about as honest as you're going to find in D.C.
I will be amazed if they don't at least try to bring Sessions back to testify again and force him under the threat of not obstruction, but just contempt. because he invented this policy, longstanding policy of the Justice Department on the spot, basically saying, you know, I'm not going to invoke
executive privilege.
Executive privilege. Well, the president's the one who declares executive privilege. You can't declare executive privilege on his behalf if you're the attorney general.
Unless he had advised you of that, because that is established law by a Supreme Court ruling. So if he has said, this is where I would, you know, if President Trump said, this is where you need to be careful because these are the areas I may invoke executive privilege, yeah, should I ever have to testify.
Yeah. So I will be surprised if he doesn't come back. Surprising news out of the last few days is that Robert Mueller is starting to – man, these special prosecutors always grow tentacles. If you remember, Kenneth Starr was appointed to investigate Whitewater and ended up, you know, prosecuting on Monica Lewinsky and perjury and possible obstruction. And now they're expanding the scope and now including the president to be investigated under obstruction of justice charges, in addition to Michael Flynn, Carter Page, and others for ties to
just
Russia.
Just after he cleared his name, all of a sudden the investigation extends to the White House.
Exactly right.
How convenient.
So I wonder what Comey said to Mueller privately that helped him come to this conclusion.
He gave me two winks of double secret, you know, innuendo.
And Mike Pence has retained private counsel as these investigations start to expand. But we're all going to be constitutional lawyers coming very soon. Every Facebook friend of yours is going to know constitutional law in and out.
The Russian puppet.
Right. So look forward to that.
I loved it. Vladimir Putin came out today and offered full the same thing he offered Snowden to James Comey.
Ha!
That's funny.
And I thought that was the best troll I've ever seen. He offered, you know, full safe passage.
Showtime has a special interview.
Oliver Stone, like, the Putin tapes.
Yeah, Oliver Stone is sitting down doing these long form interviews of Putin. I'll be interested to see that.
Oh, they're wonderful. The first one is outstanding.
Is it?
I mean, he is playing chess. I've always said it. He plays chess and everybody else plays checkers.
He's playing 8D intergalactic chess while everybody else is playing.
Someone called it now Trump's at 32D acrobatic backgammon. I thought this is the greatest description I've ever heard.
But Robert Mueller, let's talk about the teams that are being formed.
You want to talk about that?
I think just we'll wrap up with this. Yeah, because the team that Robert Mueller is starting to put together is very impressive.
Are you leaving?
I think Hannah's just walking out of the podcast. She's
hold on,
done.
We need to do our picture for the promotion.
Like, I'll wait a few minutes.
We're wrapping up. Like 5 minutes.
Basically, the gist of it is this guy's assembling a legislative team of seasoned experts. One has dreamed and has argued over 100 Supreme Court cases. One was a special aide on Watergate. I mean, these are the who's who. Led by a former FBI director,
Jeannie Rhee, a former senior advisor to Eric Holder, white collar criminal crime specialist,
a cybersecurity expert,
Aaron Zebley.
This is the A team of special prosecution attorneys. And Trump's loading up with a bunch. One guy that's kind of a Wall Street attorney that's his hit lead. Then he's brought in someone from a Christian. An alternative to the Southern Law and Poverty Center, but like a white Christian version.
Yeah.
And then four major firms have all declined to participate.
Jay Sekulow is somebody that you've probably seen if you've ever ventured into the right media. The American Center for Law and Justice was always kind of the conservative Christian answer to the ACLU.
Yeah.
And he's considered by a lot of people to be a clown.
He's the Pat Buchanan version of Andrew Napolitano.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So we'll put all this in the show notes. We got a lot of really good show notes. We didn't even get to a lot, but we'll get to that in later episodes because we're tired.
We're all tired.
We got to clean up.
I'm leaving.
So final thoughts for this episode, Baby and Agnos.
Oh, don't call me that. No, no, good episode. I felt like I contributed a lot.
You did really well.
Finally.
You did really well.
Thanks. Something I know a lot about.
Yeah, well, crying liberals.
Crying liberals, right. No, That aren't even people. No, yeah, learned a lot. I thought it was a good discussion. I'm definitely going to, once it's posted, I'm going to send it to a lot of my liberal friends.
Nice. Your snowflake network.
Drop it there. Just to troll a little bit.
I think you're all humans, though, and I care each about
you. Yeah. I love you all.
I love you all the same. But, yeah, shameless plug. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Kat Anagnos.
Are you getting a lot of creepers?
A lot of creepertarians. No, a lot of actually really nice people follow me and interact with my stuff, which is what I like. Like I said, I don't care about the likes. I like about the comments. I like the funny discussions.
Yeah.
I like people seeing that I have intelligent friends that I get to talk to instead of people just calling me ugly on the internet.
She wants to show off people.
Yeah, I just want to show off. No, but yeah, great discussion. I really like this episode. Probably my favorite so far.
Hannah?
Yeah, it was a good episode too. I think the thing that I've thought about the most is we've had these discussions about making differences and changing and how we're like the world is screwed up is the line from one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change. It's true.
You've been struck.
So true.
Wrong song.
So,
oh shit.
Yeah.
Really?
You did smooth.
It's still
criminal.
Michael Jackson, but. Anyways, but it's true though. Like, if you're gonna make the difference, like you have to change first.
Right. So. It's an individual change. It has to happen and scale out.
It's a foundational principle of libertarianism and individualism.
Michael Jackson was a secret libertarian.
You've got to.
He was from Gary. So.
Hey, I'll talk about toxic associations.
You've got to act.
Heart MJ.
You've got to act in good faith for others to act in good faith with you.
Yep. So
Gregory,
7 o'clock Sunday night, Alex Jones on Megyn Kelly on NBC. Prepared to get woke, America. This is the time. He's arriving on the grand stage. It's his cotillion. He's coming out to society, and I can't wait to see it.
I don't think that it will ever happen. I think he will get canceled.
He wants it canceled because he said that she was just going to do a profile of him, not of Sandy Hook and his extremist views.
Right.
And he thinks that the promo she's using was false, you know, misleading. So he wants it pulled.
Glenn Beck basically nailed it the other day where he was just like, and they don't get along, where he was basically...
Who gets along with Glenn Beck?
Who gets along with Alex Jones?
Oh, that's true.
90 million weekly downloads.
But...
How you doing?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Basically, like, and I just don't, I don't understand when people go, we need to shut this guy down, we need to turn, we need to, like, nah. Why? Like,
he's very entertaining.
let him discredit himself. If anybody listens to him, you realize, like, this person is crazy. He's a crazy person. He's entertaining as hell.
I'm throwing that term around a lot.
He's not entertaining to the parents of Sandy Hook. Okay. Get over it. Listen,
and no one's ever read his actual criticisms. His criticisms are fact-based. Like, you know, why, for instance, does the FBI's report on Newton, Connecticut show no deaths in that year?
Right.
Zero. Weird. Filed government report.
Right.
So, like, they don't go through and address the actual criticism. So, like, you can't dismiss him outright. The guy can quote Uniform Commercial Code from memory and recite it down to, like, the subsection. He's incredible.
Sure. His basic premises are always off, I mean, in my opinion. But he is definitely somebody that is influential in the world and has a lot of people listening to him. Why wouldn't you want to understand what that guy has to say?
You don't need to be afraid of it and try to shut it down. Expose yourself to it and decide he's wrong.
Well, the mothers of Sandy Hook are... you know what? The mothers of Sandy Hook need to realize they live in a free society, and that means that there are going to be people in the world that are abhorrent. And I'm sorry for your loss, but we're not going to tailor our entire society to people who suffered a tragedy. You know, it's just the lowest common denominator either. So, not that they are. I'm just saying in general we do that.
Your outrage is not our problem.
Mittens, what did you think of this episode?
After you destroyed it.
Yeah.
She's not impressed. She says the best part of it was when she destroyed the podcast. So
I want to watch terrible. That footage. Can we make that like a little short video?
Oh, I'm going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like King Kong
and
of
put
podcasting.
It in slow-mo. Just the gear going everywhere.
Good job, kid. All right, thank you for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We love you all for supporting us. You guys, it costs a lot of money to run We Are Libertarians as we're starting to grow and as we're starting to try and do more things. We're going to start adding live streaming soon. And we're doing that stuff because you guys donate money to help us grow, to help us add stuff, to help us bring in new libertarians to the movement. And you guys are just so great to us, and we can't thank everyone who listens, who downloads, who shares this on Facebook enough. And especially to the people who donate on PayPal or Patreon, you guys are all stars. Thank you especially to two people. Christy Avery and Jason Doolittle both have donated a lot in the last year, but especially in the last couple months to help us.
You are our sugar daddies.
Exactly.
For real.
Our podcast sugar daddies.
Finish some things out. And I just want to say thank you to them especially because the increased capabilities that we're going to have.
You're going to get levels of autism you've never seen before.
In high definition, bitches.
Mm-hmm.
So please.
Remind me never to come back.
So check in. I warned you and you showed up looking like that. So I want to thank them especially. And if you are a Wall fan and you see Jason Doolittle, if you see Christy Avery online, make sure that you thank them, because they are so awesome and such a great part of We Are Libertarians and our growth. And also, please check out the YouTube channel. I've spent a lot of time trying to get all of our episodes up there. If you listen to podcasts on YouTube, you're one of those people, then all of our episodes are now up there. And you can share those with your friends. Thank you for joining us on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We will see you next week. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.